Is racism hurting you? On issues of race, are you unable to speak, think, and act with clarity and confidence? Are you tired of laughing when nothing is funny, smiling when you are not happy, agreeing when you really disagree? CounterRacism.com, you can learn specific strategies and techniques to counter the behaviors of the people who practice racism in all areas of activity. Using words correctly, following counter-racist logic, even counter-racist science projects designed to reveal what racism is, how it works, and how to counter it. The open source code writing format allows you to pick and choose from a variety of counter-racist suggestions so you can produce the code that works for you. Stop by counterracism.com today and help replace racism with justice.
That's counter-racism.com.
Our people are very serious about not being very serious. Meanwhile, white people are very serious about playing hardball against us. And this hardball is called genocide.
Context of white supremacy, Gusty Renegade, and justice. And for another program to share constructive information on racism, white supremacy, what it is, and how it works. Thank you, everyone, for tuning into the broadcast. And this is the second consecutive year that we have broadcast live, exact same time with the Super Bowl. And it is being done intentionally. There should be nothing more important than replacing white supremacy with justice immediately. I wouldn't care who's playing, how the game is, how many sex-offending white people they drag out onto the field to play. None of that should compare to the problems black people, non-white people face worldwide and replacing the system of white supremacy immediately. That said, we want to hop into the program. Our guest, he is going to be doing a two-day seminar. It will be February 19th. That would be Saturday, February 19th, and Sunday, February 20th, 2011, in Brooklyn, New York. This seminar, the Preserve Our History Forever two-day seminar. It will be featuring serious topics on holistic health, sex, love, and relationships. Lots of excellent information. Definitely recommend folks check it out. If you want more information about this event, the number to dial is 718-363-8043. This is with King Simon Productions. That number again, 718-363-8043. The cost is $25 per day. Again, it is a two-day seminar, Brooklyn, New York, February 19th and 20th. I'll give the number out again as we roll. And if you are at Blog Talk Radio, the flyer for the event is posted in the description. Our guest, in addition to being a big part of this seminar, I mean, what to say, he is a world-renowned nutritional consultant, massage therapist, historian, certified addictionologist, acupuncturist, writer, and doctor of naturopathy. He has written several books, including Nutricide, The Nutritional Destruction of the Black Race, Melanin, What Makes Black People Black, The Handbook for Raising Black Children, a comprehensive holistic guide, numerous other works, just extremely constructive individual working diligently to just get extremely vital information for black folks worldwide. And just a real pleasure to have him on the program. Our guest for the evening, Dr. Layla O. Africa. Dr. Africa, are you with us, sir? Oh, wait a minute. Let me make sure I got your line here. Okay, got you. Dr. Africa, are you with us, sir?
I'm with you.
Outstanding. Thank you so much for sharing some of your Sunday. For folks who are listening to this program, if they have not read some of your books or seen your lectures before, could you kind of give them a little bit of background information so they'll know more about you?
Well, essentially, people call me a naturopathic doctor. Went to school in Europe and learned the usual dumbed-down information, watered-down, and received my diploma in naturopathic medicine there. And basically, I am in a field of alternative medicine, as they call it today. There's the allopathic medicine, homeopathic medicine, and naturopathic medicine, and I'm in naturopathic medicine. That's non-invasive. We don't use poisons. We use non-invasive therapies, acupuncture, massage, hypnosis, nothing to hurt the body to help heal. And I focus on ethnomedicine, that is treating black people, because our biochemistry is different, so we think differently, metabolize food differently, so we have to be treated differently. But I did work for 15 years as a psychotherapist doing therapy on white people in the military and private institutions. So when I talk about how they are structured psychologically, I'm not talking from theory. I'm talking from what I did for 15 years under supervision with psychiatrists in the military and research institutions. I'm not talking theory here. I sat down with folks 8 hours a day, hypnosis, therapy, and all kind of methods, trying to help white people be white racists. That was my job.
Wow.
Still there?
Yes, sir. I was. I didn't know that information about you, but wow. I might have a question about that as we proceed.
No problem.
Okay. I want to hop right into it so we can cover as much material as possible. This program, the context of white supremacy, I have unfortunately concluded that we are in a global system of racism. White supremacy, I use those two terms as synonyms. I use the same definition for both terms. That definition is as follows: a global system of people who classify themselves as white and are dedicated to abusing and or subjugating everyone in the known universe whom they classify as not white. Do you believe that such a system exists, and do you think that definition is accurate?
It's accurate. It's not as complicated as people seem to think it is. White domination, supported by a myth called white supremacy and defended by a psychological system called white racism. First, you have white domination. And out of that system of white domination is a belief, which is a myth of white supremacy. And that's defended by white racism. We have to go back to see how this whole thing was structured. They don't sit down and deliberately draw diagrams to say they're white supremacists. You have to understand where they come from. If you're trying to help someone find you, and you're in Brooklyn, New York, you say where you're coming from, and you can give them directions. So we have to study cave civilization, which we don't study. We study Greek civilization, which has nothing to do with Europeans. The Greeks didn't like the Europeans, call them barbarians, call them Brits, where you get the word Britain from. They did not deal with the Europeans. They were too barbaric. So they're coming out of the cave system. So you have to understand the law of the caves, understand the Europeans, and stop reading about Greeks and Romans. They have nothing to do with the Europeans, nothing. So the law of the caves is structured differently. It's a bait and switch kind of thing. it's not a civilization. It's called a pride. It's like a lion has a pride. They don't have a civilization. And the Europeans have a pride. So if you study in civilization to understand Europeans, you won't understand Europeans. So we have to go back from where these people coming from. So you have to go and study them like they study us. They go to the pyramids, they read up. They go to where we came from to study us. But we don't go to where they came from, the caves, and study them. So I went to their caves. I went to caves in England, Germany. I went to their caves and studied them, just like they go to the pyramids and study us. So I come from a different perspective here. That's what I'm trying to tell you. If you want to understand these people, go study where they came from, just like they do with us. And you can't fight the system because you have to understand who you're fighting. You can't get in the ring with Muhammad Ali blindfold. They don't have that kind of civilizational structure. They have a pride, which is totally different from civilization. Going back to the original language, which they did not have, they have a stolen language, trying to say African words and ended up with Latin. They don't have a language. What they have, they've always stolen. Their language, their religion, their clothing, their buildings, their structures, their mythology, their furs, everything they had, they stole. So why study what they stole? Study them. And that was my conclusion when I went to school. I said, I'm going to where the thief came from and study where he came from. And that's why I went to school in Europe as opposed to Africa, because I'm trying to deal with these people here. And so I would agree with the whole definition of what you're saying, but I would add the historical perspective to it and understanding to know about them, go from where they came from.
Wow. What could you share a little bit? You talked about the law of the cave. Could you share a little bit about what you studied with regards to how they conducted themselves in the caves of Europe?
The thing is that you can read about it in Plato's Seven Books of Republic now. He wrote about it himself, and a couple of other white historians wrote about their civilization, but they only gave about a paragraph or so. So Plato wrote pretty good on it. He said, living in caves distorts your perception of reality forever. You're living in the shadows of life, what life reflects is, and shadows are distorted. Sometimes they're long, sometimes they're tall, sometimes they're fat. So just living in shadows causes you to distort the reality of seeing a person. And he said that effect distorts your vision of how you perceive reality and how you interpret reality forever. And that's what I'm talking about, the slave civilization and the cave civilization. So black folks suffer from post-traumatic slavery trauma, and white folks suffer from post-traumatic cave trauma. Just as we've been traumatized by slavery, they have been traumatized by caves. So they have post-traumatic cave trauma, and it's not going away because they don't recognize it as a disease, and they're not going to be treated for it. Most black people have not been treated for post-traumatic slavery trauma today, and white people have not been treated for post-traumatic cave trauma today. So you got a bunch of sick people dealing with a bunch of sick people looking for a healthy conclusion. It's not going to happen. So the slaves, the cave civilization, you have the ones that live even to the ground, which is like living like Oprah. Then you have caves below the caves that go about three caves deep. They're still in Providence, Rhode Island. You can still go in the caves. You can go in caves in many places, but they haven't bricked up in Europe. So if you go in there, they're going to lock you up. But you go, it's about three caves deep. You got the first floor, second floor, that sort of thing. Now then, as hunters of meat, as you would say, when you hunt, you either got to bait your trap or create a trap. So the system is to create a bait. And the bait is you want white. You want a white degree. You want a white money. You want a white advancement. You want to be somebody in white civilization. That's the bait. But the bait only gets you into the culture. The objective is to make you Europeanized, to give you European culture. The bait is money. The bait is homosexuality. The bait draws you in. But once you're in, you get acculturated. So you're looking at the trap instead of looking what the purpose of the trap is. The purpose of the trap is to Europeanize your mind. And once that's done, they don't have to control you. You control yourself.
Mm. Wow. I definitely want to get more to how they look to colonize the mind. But my co-host is here, Justice. If you have some questions you would like to ask Dr. Africa, your line is open. Please go right ahead.
Hello, Dr. Africa.
Hello.
How did you get your name?
My name? Let me see. That's 35 years ago. Let me think about this one. I was studying herbs, and I said, I want to go to Africa and study herbs, and I knew of a great herbal teacher there. And I was going on my way to go by a couple of months, and I was in a health food store picking up some herbs, and there was a guy from Nigeria somewhere in there. And then he started talking. I talked to him. I said, yeah, man, I'm on my way to Africa. I'm going to study herbology with this great teacher. He said, that's my father. I said, okay. He said, well, why go over there with the same problems to destroy Africa? Maybe you ought to get rid of those problems and don't bring them to Africa. I said, that makes sense. He said, study with me and I'll help you out so you won't bring to Africa the very problems that they're destroying Africa. So I studied with him for a couple of years, and I became Laila Africa out of that. I was some kind of priest, kind of modality, something like that, studying all types of African civilizations and that sort of thing. But I was also a psychotherapist at a medical hospital at the time, so I knew how to deconstruct behavior. So I saw a little bit more in what he was saying and what he was saying. So that's what happened. I kind of like graduated from the course, and it comes to you, because I had to go in the forest blindfold and pick up herbs. So after a while, the herbs come to you, and the name comes to you from the plants and from the earth. So I came from an earth-plant system of indoctrination or rites of passage, as you would call it today. And that's how my name came.
How did you become informed about racism, white supremacy?
Informed? I don't think I was informed. I was mostly a victim of it. Jeez. I come out of the South, you know, and if I walked on the sidewalk on the street and a white person was coming, I had to walk and get in the street and get off the sidewalk. I come out of the whole subjugation of the thing and lynchings of black people and all that kind of stuff. I come out of that forced understanding of the situation. It wasn't a textbook thing. It's lynchings and all kind of stuff going on around me at the time, aside from being spit on and all that kind of stuff. I guess I backed into it. And then I heard, let me see, Neely Fuller was active then, and Francis Cress Welsin, Dr. Welsin, and all that sort of thing. So I was around a lot of people at that time. That was during that time. And a lot of people I socialized with and knew they're gone. Stokely Carmichael, I used to take care of him, and H.R.A.P. Brown, I used to take care of him and his wife. So I was around it was a different atmosphere for me. So a lot of it was reading, and a lot of it was personal experience. But we didn't name it anything called white supremacy. We just called it the white man. And we called it the white man, and we called them what they were. We said their nose was so big that when they talk, it sounds like they're honking a horn. So we called them honkies. And because the slave master used to crack the whip on us, we used to call them crackers. So we call white supremacy crackers and hunkies and the white man. We just didn't have that formal label that you have today.
Do you believe there is a system of racism, white supremacy?
I can believe there's snow in the sky. Belief means nothing in this world. Facts which rule the world, but belief is the thing that drives facts out of the door. So what I believe is one thing, but I've been a victim of it. I don't have to believe it. I was experiencing it in the war. These white people were racist during a war against me and other blacks. I've been in two wars with these people. I don't believe it. I've lived this thing. I've seen them do it. I've seen them lynch people in the shower when I was in the military. And that's no belief. This is my life.
Why and how did you want to become a lecturer and author?
My dear, I didn't want to become a lecturer or author or Dr. Africa. I wanted to become a fireman. I was a little boy. I wanted to become what little boys want. And I thought Tarzan was a great man who hung on a tree and swung through the jungle and scared every black person, rhinoceros and elephant and everything. I was a little boy, and what I wanted was what little boys want. I redefined myself as I grew up, I guess you would say it that way. What happened was I just wanted to be healthy. So I started reading books on health and going to seminars that were all white in Europe and Italy and other countries. And I just wanted to be healthy, and that's what it was all about for me. And I was in the South African Fruitarian Society. That's before Mandela. And we had meetings, and the guy at one of the seminars, he said, you can go to school for free since you were the only black in the organization. We'll take care of everything. So I said, okay. So I went to school for free and got my naturopath, but I wasn't planning on practicing per se. People just told me that's what I should do. A fellow named J2 Weyuzi up in New York got on a plane and flew down to my house and said, man, you need to put this book out because you're the only one who knows this stuff. I said, are you really? He said, yeah. I'm going to bring you to New York. And he was very instrumental in getting me to talk. And people just told me that's what I should do, and I just kind of followed it because these people were good people. J2 Weyuzi, H. Rap Brown, he walked me in the woods and said, some things belong to you and some things belong to the world, Brother Africa, and this belongs to the world. I said, man, please. But people helped guide me. I didn't have that much guidance. I'm from a broken home. I didn't have a father, so these guys kind of mentored me. I guess that's the word you use today.
I know that the Super Bowl is today. Are you a football fan, and do you suspect most non-white people are noticing any racism being practiced while watching the Super Bowl?
You can use the English language and be practicing racism. There's over 250 negative connotations for the word black in the English language, so they don't know that they're practicing racism by speaking English, for that matter. I don't think the average public person knows anything about that. I just don't know. I just can't get any sense out of a man putting a bucket on his head and running into another guy. That just doesn't make sense to me. But I understand the structure of the game is about taking territory, taking land. That's what the 10-yard rule did. It established the principle of taking land by deceit and deception, which you call football or basketball, which is military logic coming out of the law of the cage. Everything is taken by deceit and deception, and that's what you call military today. That's one of the primary tenets of the law of the cage. Never go direct. Misdirect and deceive, but never go direct. And that's a game that just practices that kind of ideology and distills it into people so they don't know they're being indoctrinated into a system. They think they're watching a game, but they're being played psychologically. It's a game of stealing land, 10 yards at a time. It's like they stole Africa, just like they stole North and South America. One bush at a time, 10 yards at a time. Deceit and deception.
You didn't answer the part about, are you a football fan?
I don't.
You didn't answer that part?
Yeah, I said, does it make sense to me to put a bucket in your head and run into another man? What's the point? I can't deal with that. Doesn't make sense.
You
call
have
it football. I call it just, it doesn't make sense. That's all. So, no, I am not a football fan, baseball fan, wrestling fan, boxing fan. I'm not any of those fanatics. My fanatic system is to be free. I'm a fan of freedom.
Do you have any white friends?
A white person could never be my friend, period. I have to associate with them, but they cannot be my friend, never. I can associate with them, but friend, no. No.
Okay. all I need is just a yes or no on this one. Do you think non-white people can practice racism?
That's a hard one to answer. Racism means power. I am a racist for black people. I that's what I'm about. I'm a racist myself, to be black, to be proud. So I am a racist. Racism can be positive and negative. Every word can be positive and negative. Every word. Every emotion can be positive and negative. Anger can be positive. It can be negative. When you just look at a negative way word, you're coming out of the European educational system. Every word, every emotion, every thought can be negative and positive.
You just said you are a racist.
Oh, yeah, positive.
Do you think people should stay away from you?
I want prejudice, racist, lying, Japanese, Chinese, and white people and black people to stay the hell away from me, yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Wow. Okay, I don't have any more questions at this time. Go ahead, Gus.
Just email me if you have more, no problem. LaizaAfrica@juno.com. Just email me. No problem.
Context of white supremacy. And I just want to point out with the football stealing, no coincidence, the Steelers are in the Super Bowl. You talked about, just the way that the racist European culture is transmitted, and one of the main objectives is to get your mind addicted and ensnared in this European way of thinking. Fairy tales. You've done extensive research on the long-term damage that can be caused by black children being indoctrinated with these fairy tales. Can you kind of go into some of that with our listeners?
The fairy tales, as you call them, is a collection of folk tales. It was told in caves and around fires. Some of them were collected by the Brothers Grimm and other psychological people, as you would call it today. The ones that we read today are kind of watered down. It took out the violence, it took out the murders and all that sort of stuff, and kind of cleansed them, racially cleansed them. For the Cinderella, the girl's sisters, they actually, first one cut off their toes, the second one cut off her heel, the other one cut off her foot. But that's taken out of the version that you read. I read the ancient version written by Salfi and Grimm's. I went back and read the original text. So what you have is a racially cleansed version of the fairy tale. But nonetheless, you have what you call in psychology the Peter Pan syndrome. That's a person who doesn't want to grow up, a person who just want to be a child, a person that want to be taken care of, to pimp somebody else. They just don't want to grow up. And we call that the Peter Pan syndrome. We get a boy who doesn't want to grow up. He always want to be in the playground and be a player and go home to his crib because he psychologically doesn't want to grow up. That's the embeddingness, the psychological embedding of repeating this thing over and over and over again, that the women are trying to rescue the brothers and help them be a better man. We call it the Little Red Riding Hood syndrome, always trying to rescue a brother and improve his life and make him be a better man and all that kind of stuff. That's the Little Red Riding Hood syndrome. So these things get psychologically embedded once they're repeated over and over and over again. And knowing the origin of these things can help to a degree. But the fairy tales are emotional. They're not a psychological thing. And you cannot change someone's emotional intelligence with an intellectual thought. You cannot override emotions with intelligence. Anytime you're dealing with emotions, you got to use emotions. If you're playing tennis, you got to come with a tennis racket. You can't come with a baseball glove. And the problem is we try to intellectually override an emotional state of mind called white supremacy with intelligence, proving it, showing the pyramids. Yes, people know what the pyramids are. They wrote the damn books. Please, intelligence never overrides emotions, never. So But the problem is that this is emotionally embedded, and for me to get the history of the fairy tales and all that does not change the emotional intelligence of a person. It can only change their intelligence. Intelligence changes intelligence. Rats take care of rats. Birds take care of birds. Birds don't stop and take care of damn fish. Intelligence take care of intelligence. With one rational thought to another rational thought to another rational, intelligence looks out for intelligence. And emotions are selfish. They look out for themselves. So we have to understand that we're coming out of an educational system. There's a European educational system, and we're using that to try to define our position and define a way to freedom. You cannot use that system, that psychological matrix that you call it today, to get out of this condition. You have to use black psychology, African-centered psychology, which is what I teach, to understand the situation. But you can't use this white stuff to do that. No, it never happened. So the psychological embedding of the fairy tales deals with an emotional net. We call it a neural net. Emotions are established in a net, sort of like a spider web. And anger is attached to love. Jealousy is attached to hate. All of these emotions are tied together in what we call a neural net. And to trigger love, you can make someone angry and they'll love you. Or you can love someone and they'll get angry and you don't understand it because they were not bonded properly to their mother and father. Because the bonding process bonds you to thought and language. And thought and language and growth development starts before you are born. Thought and language development starts before you are born. A continuation of that is called a cooey language, which babies make. That's a continuation of thought and development of the baby. But the language started in the womb emotionally. That's what we have to look at. What are we dealing with? We're dealing with an emotion. And the emotion is overriding intelligence. People get angry with somebody, and you say, look, there's no need of fighting about this. Just come in. No, I'm going to kick that behind. There's no need to say, no, I'm going to kick her. Because you're trying to override their emotional state with intelligence, and you can't calm them down. Emotions calm down emotions. Language calms. But when you're trying to do the other thing, it's not going to work. So the fairy tales catch the child, the child when they have a vast emotional vocabulary, and plug into the only language that any human being has. The first language is emotional language. And they plug into that language and embed it in the child emotionally and intellectually. You can't override that one. That's why you want to get to the child. You have to get to the child to destroy or control the nation. You have to get to the child. So they get to the child through these fairy tales, which are usually about taking some money from somebody, using some magic words, stealing something. Women are no good. Women are conducive to crime and all this sort of thing. There's a woman that lives in a tree or a shoe that has a lot of children on welfare. Painting these pictures of women over and over and over again kind of destroys the female component of a man's psychological mind and emotional mind. So you get to his emotional mind, destroy his ability to use his female principle, therefore he can't connect to a female period.
Wow. Can you kind of share in terms of the long-range damage? So once, you know, you have a black child that is 35, 40 years old, and they get this information, they know, you know, more details about these so-called fairy tales, how that damage can still impact their thinking in terms of them being emotionally bonded to European white culture and really having a white frame of reference for how they see the world.
Unfortunately, they become casualties of the war. Because we have been in a war with white people since the Hittites came into Africa. So we don't recognize that we're in a war, but we are in a war, and we're dying at a higher rate now than we were dying in slavery. Nonetheless, this ability to override the emotional state of consciousness requires an emotional vocabulary. So that requires going through some kind of therapeutic protocol to establish emotional vocabulary so I can establish an emotional budget, so I can establish an emotional expense account, so the person can have an ability to understand their biochemical emotional personality, which they don't have. So they cannot override this system because they're still on Windows 98, and any updated program you put in there is not going to register, because you can't change Windows 98 unless you delete it and put in the new program. So the deletion button, what I'm trying to say is, we do not have enough healers to heal this race. We don't have enough doctors to save this race. There are more African brothers and sisters born on the continent of Africa, medical doctors, in America than on the continent of Africa. Africa does not have the medical doctors because they've been usurped. We don't have enough healers to heal this race. So therefore, we're going to have a lot of casualties. So some people, you got to say that's a casualty. Sometimes their car gets so destroyed, you have to say it's a total loss. You have to make the judgment calls, you see. So some people can be saved. I will admit, yeah, that some can be saved. That's true. But I think our casualty rate is going to be very high. And in a war, when it requires too much manpower to help someone else, we leave them. And we keep moving forward, because you've got to move forward. So we just leave the brother there. Shoot him, take him out of his pain, and we keep moving. That's what we did in a war. And I don't think that we have the intelligence about a war. We just have the television version of it. You have to, in a war, you have to destroy women, particularly a European war. All wars in European culture are based on the ability to destroy women. The objective of the war is to destroy the means of production. So you bomb the factory. And who works in the factory? Women. So they just tell you this stuff on TV, but it's not clicking in that the Europeans win wars by killing women. That's what we do. We bomb factories, and women and children work there. The soldiers that don't work in the factory. So when we're looking at the Europeans' definition of war, there are many other definitions of war and how wars were fought. But we are looking at the colonization of thought, the colonization of emotions, the colonization of the concept of God. Dr. Henry Clark used to talk on this. The Europeans have colonized the concept of God and made God into a man. That's not in our culture. They've colonized how we dream. So if you want to find out how you dream, you got to go buy a white dream book. They have colonized our concept of dreams. The only way to get out of this thing is to get out of this thing. Just have to step away, draw a line, and say, I'm not crossing this line. Because the rest of this work has to be done by other people, school teachers, dancers, singers. Everyone has to go into African centered modalities for us to get out of it. And that's somebody else's job, to make that singing African centered, to make the dance movement African centered, instead of just moving your hips for some sexual reason. Movement of dance is supposed to express some kind of philosophical or spiritual concept. If you move in your hips and you cannot explain it, then stop moving your hips. That's what we're dancing. It has to be African centered. So we need a lot of healers, dancing healers, language healers, and we don't have them. But we're going to have a lot of casualties. So some people, yeah, I can help. And other healers can help. But other ones, let it go. Scratch it. Casualty of war.
Context of white supremacy. I want to make sure I don't forget. You said that you worked and did therapy in the military with white people. Can you share some of what you learned during therapy for these, you know, white people? You said helping them to be racist.
Oh, of course, that was my job. Hell, I had to pay my mortgage. You know what I mean? Let's see. I worked at a private psychiatric institution in Pennsylvania, research institution. For a psychiatric corporation. I did that for a few years. And then I went to addictive services and worked as a therapist in women's prison and men's prison. And then I was a psychotherapist in the military, and then I became a nurse. I did that for about 4 years. And I ran marathon groups, and I used to hypnotize groups. And getting into that shell layers of their personality, getting into their inner self and all that sort of thing. And the objective is to embed mistrust. You cannot trust yourself. You cannot trust your mind in psychology, because you got this animal mind, and you have to control this animal mind of yours. So you cannot trust your mind because you're coming out of a cave and you cannot trust nature. Weather has betrayed you, has frozen the water, it has destroyed the crops. So you cannot trust nature to provide for you. So you're coming out of a psychological construct about mistrust. You cannot trust your mind. Your subconscious mind will seep through and control your conscious mind. So you can't control. You got to be aware of this deceitful demon called your subconscious mind that's coming at you. You have to mistrust everything. That's why they have inspectors. They inspect bikes. They inspect toothpicks. They inspect houses. They inspect nails. They don't trust each other. Those inspections are because there's a mistrust in European culture. You see? But we don't see it that way. We still have the inspectors. Yeah, well, if you entrust this man to do a good job with the airplane, why do you have inspectors for airplanes and bicycles and cars? There's a deep mistrust because nature could not be trusted. So you never trust anything. You don't even trust your mind. That's the way you got to drive when you're going into psychology, white psychology. You got to go into this deep mistrust. So all I did was just embed the mistrust even further in them to make them a better white person. That's all. Don't trust your wife. She may go out and sneak and give some sex to somebody. So always be suspicious, you know. Don't trust them. Another woman may take your husband. Don't trust them, you know, that kind of thing. So all I did was instill the ability to mistrust themselves and mistrust nature and mistrust black people because we're too close to nature, so you can't trust them. That's all I did. And I made them happy.
Wow. Do you see these same elements in the mythology and fairy tales of white people? This mistrust?
Of course, it's all over the place. You see, when you're looking at white fairy tales, you're looking at the abandoned child syndrome. Because all of these children were abandoned. Oedipus was abandoned. Chrysler was abandoned. Cadillac was abandoned. Superman was abandoned. Moses was abandoned. Jesus was abandoned. You're always looking at abandoned child. That's the abandoned child syndrome because nature has abandoned the European and left them in these icy caves with no food, you see? Nature has abandoned them. God has abandoned them. So they always have abandoned child theme, but you're not seeing it as abandoned child. You're seeing it as some Jack and Jill and all these abandoned children, Hansel and Gretel, and they abandoned. Pinocchio, Superman was abandoned and sent off to some planet called Earth with some Krypton or some crap. I don't know. But he was abandoned. Chrysler was abandoned. Cadillac was abandoned. Moses was abandoned. Jesus was abandoned. There's always abandoned child themes. You can't miss it. And you're going back to nature has abandoned them. So they have a mistrust for nature and mistrust anyone close to nature or God or spirituality or being a human being. So they have to mistrust black people. It's coming out of the law of the cave is where they came from.
Wow. I noted I was watching one of the lectures that you did on these fairy tales and when I was watching Snow White, and I said, wow, this is just the resurrection story in the Bible. I'd never thought of the similarities before. You also talked about how these fairy tales, they desensitize you to violence, cannibalism, harm to children. Can you share a little bit of that with our listeners?
It's some people say that's really deep, that's really heavy, but it's not all that. It's sort of like you have these sirens and things going off in the neighborhood, the siren of a police car or ambulance or fire engine. But originally, they set that siren sound to a baby crying because that's when an adult gets alert when they hear baby crying. So the sirens go, going through the neighborhood crying, which desensitizes you to care for your own children. And eventually, you let the state care for them. You see, it desensitizes your ability to care. But we don't see it that way. We're just walking around oblivious to this onslaught of white supremacy attack, which is fueled on white domination. The objective is to dominate. As Dr. Henry Clark would say, white people don't play fractions. They want the whole thing. They didn't want a piece of America. They want the whole damn thing. They don't want a piece of Africa. They want the whole thing because Europeans don't play fractions. You couldn't afford that. You couldn't afford to share in a cave situation. It would get overcrowded and take away your food supply. So you had to have the whole cave. So you bond with your brother's wife, and that caused a clan. Then you bond with your clan bonds with another clan, forming a tribe. Then your tribe bonds and forms a kingdom. Then your kingdom bonds and forms an empire. But the first thing is you are building a clan or structure a Klan to protect your domain because you know that these people try to steal it from you. So you're building a civilization based on stealing and deception. That's the whole foundation of the cave civilization. You can't trust these other cave people. They take your stuff. They take your food. It's the nature of the, how they are. It's not an evil thing how they are. That's just how they are. And once you understand what a rat is or a dog is, then you're able to defend yourself and protect yourself. You don't say a dog is evil. You don't say a rat is evil. Once you understand it, then you're able to protect yourself. So you have to understand the European. You can't cure them. You're black. The only person can cure a European is a European. The only person can protect a rat is another rat. You cannot cure a European by talking about white supremacy, white racism. The only person can cure a European is a European. Best thing to do is understand the nature of them and get the hell away from it as far as you can.
Wow. Would you say it's accurate for a black person giving their child these European fairy tales that that is a form of abuse and or neglect?
That's a form of destruction. You never get that child back. In some degree, they're damaged forever. Either emotionally, spiritually, sexually, to some degree, they're damaged forever. And because we're unaware of it, we do it. It's like black folks walking around when these Europeans are having their spiritual ritual. They put a candle out, and then they cut out the a pumpkin, and then they put a god next to it, a straw god, and you don't see it as an altar. And they throw away the pumpkin because that's altar food. That's altar fruit. They have an altar in front of their damn house going through a spiritual ritual, and you call it Halloween. That thing is a spiritual ritual coming out of the Saturnalian ritual, coming out of the caves. That's why all the Europeans practice Halloween. You call it Halloween, it's spiritual. You know what an altar is. You know what candles are. You know what pumpkins is, fruit on an altar is. You know, don't you see what they're doing? They all practicing this spiritual ritual and with chants and songs and symbolism of corn candy, fertility, to grow more of what they are. But you're walking around, you don't know. Just like you tell on a fairy tale to your child, you don't know. But once you know, you got to say, no, I can't do this. This is European. This is going to make my child into a monster in some form.
Context of white supremacy. Please visit Dr. Africa's website. It is www.drafrica.com, and that's drafrica.com. So www.drafrica.com. I wanted to make sure I got kind of a sample of what you are going to discuss February 19th and February 20th at the lecture in Brooklyn. It's featuring topics on holistic health, sex, love, and relationships. What exactly do you plan to touch on?
Well, I plan to just talk about how to approach the body as an instrument, a holy temple, and how you don't want to pollute your body. You don't want to desecrate a holy image, which we call the 42 Declarations of Innocence and Mahat and things of that sort. So we're looking at nature to help us with our nature. So we eat food that is still in their natural state to keep us in our natural state. So we don't eat processed food, bleached white flour, white sugar, honey, salt, and all those things that are processed. We want to eat things that are natural to keep us in our natural state and help my people understand some basic tenets about how to diagnose themselves or to find out what's wrong with them so they can get to the right solution. And primarily I'm into my helping side because I'm a helper, psychotherapist. I'm a helper. That's what I've been doing for, I don't know, 40 years, I guess, helping people. And I just want to help people to take control of their health and be more healthy and more aware when they're doing something wrong. So it's some basic techniques that I'll be teaching about how to diagnose themselves and how to find the right remedy to whatever their health condition is, be it arthritis or fibroid tumors or prostate disease, just guiding people through this jungle. There's a whole lot of stuff out there about health that's totally incorrect, and oftentimes we think it's correct. We actually think there's something called an antioxidant when that's a theory. We also think it's something called gravity when that's a theory. We also think it's, we into all these theories and beliefs of the Europeans, and we take them as facts. We think it's white people came from black people. That's a theory of evolution written in Diop's book and every scientist's book. It's a belief. These are theories, and belief is more powerful than facts. So black folks, go for it. But these beliefs will get you in trouble. So I'm saying you have to see what it is and treat what it is. That's what Mary Seacole said, of the Caribbean, who taught Florence Nightingale, the black lady. Said, you see what it is and you treat what it is. And that's how she taught Florence Nightingale, who died of syphilis for helping the soldiers out in her own way, whatever she did, the wretched person that she was. Nonetheless, I'm just saying, I'm teaching you how to see the body through African eyes, see what it is so you can treat what it is. And never treat a designer name like lupus and Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. Those are designer names. There's something wrong with the nervous system. We treat the nervous system. And so I'm trying to teach people just to capture their body again and empower themselves.
Wow. And when you say holistic health, that means?
And that means that in my world, in our black world, as they call it today, we believe we come from the spirit world, and that manifests mind, and mind manifests body. That's my belief. Spirit, mind, and body. The Europeans believe that what you can see and measure, that's what I want to control, so they go body, mind, spirit. That's European. We say spirit, mind, body. That's African-centered. So I'm teaching that just a way to reorganize your thinking, to reorganize the way you approach life so you can get to the right solution. Because the first step is to call things by their right name to get the right solution. And that's what I'm going back to, just recapture that sort of understanding. And as we get into holistic sex and understanding, I'm getting into the basic structure of a civilization and how a marriage or a relationship reflects the cultures and helps to feed the culture. And the purpose of the relationship is to honor God and the person. I'm going back to that way, which we look at each other instead of looking at each other's behind, which comes out of Greek culture. So we're looking at each other like we're white people, and we expect a black solution in our relationship when we approach it white. So I'm just going back and say, look, we got to restructure all these things that were taken from us when they took away our culture, our language, our clothing, our shoes, our songs. We got to go back and Sankofa this so we can get to the right solution. Because my objective is to help people. People hear me talking about history and psychology, and they get this wrong thing. My whole objective is to help black people. I'm not into helping white people. I'm into helping black people. So we can be healthier, because we got a debt that we have to pay to those people that died in those cane fields and those cotton fields and on those rice plantations. We owe them something because they provided us with a future. So we owe it to our ancestors to be healthy. Save our children from hyperactivity and Ritalin. Save ourselves from Viagra and all these kind of things that produce psychological damage to us. We owe it to them.
Mm. Wow. Are you going to touch on relationships at all? Because I saw that was part of it as well.
Yeah, I'm talking about the tenets of a relationship. What are the variables that put it together? How you structure it? How do you argue properly? How do you get out of an argument? How do you build a relationship? How do you overcome mistrust? How do you overcome adultery? How do you overcome someone who masturbates? How do you overcome these things in a relationship to keep the relationship going or to be much aware to stop it? So I'm going back to the basic tenets of a relationship, to be political, military, economic, spiritual. Those things that are components of a relationship. It has to be economic. It has to be military. It has to be spiritual. It has to be social. Those are the things that you build a relationship on. If it's not addressing those issues, it's going to fail.
Wow. I want, again, the two-day seminar is going to be February 19th and February 20th, Brooklyn, New York. If you want to get more information, the number to dial is 718-363-8043. Just curious if we could get a little snippet. Do you have some thoughts, constructive ways that black people can get out of arguments with other black people?
You basically, I just wanted to know that I used to be a marriage counselor, and I used to help suicide. I used to help rape. I did all those kind of things you did in psychology, paranoid schizophrenics, and people that ate their own bowel movements. I used to do that kind of work, you know? So what I'm saying is you ask yourself basically three questions when you're talking to someone. You say, how is what I'm saying benefiting this person? And how is what I'm saying benefiting me? And how is this conversation serving our highest good? When you ask yourself those three things, then that stops arguments and stops a whole lot of things. How is what I'm saying benefiting you? And how is you listening to me say this benefiting me? And how is this conversation serving our highest good, or serving God, or serving Allah, or serving... How is it doing that? If it's not doing that, you need to stop talking.
Wow. Excellent suggestion. I might make that a sound clip. Outstanding suggestion. Justice, do you have some other questions for Dr. Africa?
Yes. When you worked for the military, did you shoot non-white people?
Did I do what?
Did you shoot non-white people?
I wasn't I wasn't a infantry. I didn't use a gun. I was in psychology. I didn't shoot anybody. I was what they call a whatever. I didn't have a weapon, and it was in my records not to. I didn't have to shoot anybody. I was nonviolent. That was in my records. So I didn't shoot anybody. I worked with them. I psychology and as a nurse, Japanese, Chinese, Samoans, white people, black people. I did work them with them as a nurse and as a psychotherapist. And that's what I did. I worked with their children, their wives. That was my job.
To be a herbologist, did you have to get a medical degree or some type of degree?
No, you don't have to get a degree to be a herbalist. Or a degree just means you have a degree of understanding. That's why Europeans give it to you. That means you don't understand the whole subject. You just understand the degree of the subject. And Europeans only understand a degree of a subject, so they give you a degree. But when you're in holistic science, you understand the whole subject. And so you don't want a degree. You want the whole understanding. So I understand the herbs, how they talk, why they have a certain color. Lycopene is red. Xanthine gives you purple, and understanding the purple is related to potassium. So the colors give you a clue as to what the vitamin and mineral content of the plant is, just from reading the colors. And reading how they grow, and reading leaves and the roots. And then I had to read the soil, because certain plants indicate what nutrients are missing in the soil. So understanding from the earth up, because you dance from your feet up, and you understand herbs from the soil up. So I got into a whole nother. But the way they teach it in school today is just fluff. I feel sorry for the people taking herbology, really, for black people and white people. I really feel sorry for them. Because they're not learning the whole science. They're just learning a degree of the science.
Do you enjoy learning and understanding health?
I enjoy watching people learn. I mostly teach these days, but I do some treatment. But I enjoy watching people learn. That's a good thing for me. It fuels me, particularly children. That really keeps me going.
Your book title, Melanin, What Makes Black People Black? Can you please give a brief summary what that title means in the simplest vocabulary you can?
Yeah, I wish I did have a simplest vocabulary. That's very challenging there. I was talking about melanin, and that's a chemical that makes your skin brown. And I'm saying that chemical, melanin, makes you think differently, makes children grow at a faster rate, gives you more protection, helps you metabolize food, digest food better. The more melanin you have, the more of that chemical called melanin you have, the better your thought process, the better you're able to digest food, the more civilized you are, more spiritual you are and the more psychic you are. It is the way we gauge in a race. And we look at their melanin content, and that's how we classify races, by their melanin content. It's the way we value a human being. It gives you your human value.
When I was doing some literature work, I read about myths of ancient Greece and Rome. Just so children who are listening to this program won't be confused, why do you think white people show and tell myths of ancient Greece and Rome?
That is the only documentation they have of their existence, is to go back to Greece and Rome. Because the Europeans who you're talking about, the only documentation they have is 30,000 years ago, and there's nothing. They don't have any kind of literary history, no reading, no books, or nothing to prove they are people of value. So they go and steal someone else's history called Greeks and Romans. But that has nothing to do with Europeans. That's something they stole.
Thank you. Go ahead, Gus.
We had a lot of people that dialed in. I wanted to see if we could pick up a couple questions. Is that acceptable, Dr. Africa?
Yeah,
that's
fine.
Okay. Let's see. Mr. Duff Lee. Mr. Duff Lee, if you have a question for Dr. Africa, your line is open. Mr. Duff Lee, are you there? Your line is open.
Yes, sir. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Greetings to Justice, Gus, Dr. Africa. Thank you all for putting the program together today. The first question is directed to Dr. Africa. How would you recommend approaching loved ones who are suffering from different ailments, yet they are very loyal to allopathic treatments? The second question is, how will the bill SB 510 affect holistic medicine as well as natural foods?
People have a right to kill themselves the way they want, you know? So you have relatives that are still into allopathic medicine, and that's fine. You're just trying to be related to them. You're not trying to educate them. So you just treat them as a relative. Okay, I'm related to you, and I respect that relationship. But don't try to take them out of allopathic medicine. That's somebody else's job. Get them a DVD or tell them to watch something. Let somebody else do that one. You just busted in your skull for nothing there. I have relatives. They are on medicine, drugs, surgery, chemotherapy, and I respect them for that, and I just be a relative to them. But they know what I do, and that's all I can say for that. As far as the Europeans, and they have rules and these controlling vitamins and minerals and herbs and all that sort of thing. That's what they always done. That is nothing new. And they're not going to stop people from taking herbs or going to natural healers. That's not going to happen. That's just something they do to help make more money, and they're going to continue doing that. So I don't even get involved in all their shenanigans anymore. Not at all.
Thank you for the questions, Mr. Duff Lee. Person who called in 2777, last four digits, 2777. Your line is open. Person who called in, last four digits, 2777. Did you have a question? Okay. Person who called in 9427. Did you have a question? 9427.
Yes, sir. Good evening. How is everyone today?
As well as can be, sir.
Good evening. What's up, Brother Africa? How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Briefly, I want you to discuss with the audience the mystery system that we had and the 7 degrees, and especially, you know, focus on that last degree, the 7th degree, I can't pronounce it, but I would, you know, be more than happy to spell it to you. So P-R-O-P-H-E-T-A. And
yes,
I also want to And I also want you to discuss with the audience the comment that was made, I think it was in the Congressional Records, about food being used as a weapon.
Yeah, okay. Well, the mystery system was nothing more than an educational system that the African people had. And the Europeans, the Greeks that came in there, didn't have the understanding of it, so they called it a mystery. Sort of like you walk in a chemistry class, and just to you, everything would be a mystery. So the Europeans said, that's a mystery to them, but it's not a mystery to us. We understood the chemistry. So that's all it's essentially about. They just mislabeled our system as a mystery system, but it wasn't that at all. And the thing with redefining our history like you're doing so you can understand it better is if every time you move forward you got to analyze something white, you'll never get forward. So at a certain point, you just have to drop that stuff and just keep walking forward because you spend too much time analyzing white folks and keeping up with their business, Illuminati and all this laws about the food. Who cares? We keep analyzing them. I call them white people watchers. That's what they do. They watch TV, read their news reports. White people are going to do what they do. We need to do what we need to do, organize ourselves and move forward, educate our children, be producers of products instead of buying products. We need to do our thing, but keep analyzing white folks. It's just a waste of time, and I don't even really talk about it, tell you the truth. What was his second question?
Using food as a weapon. I think there was something in congressional records about that.
That was 1946. That comes under Clinton Anderson. That's when he wrote that document. That's at Stanford University, all that documentation on using the food as a weapon, because the first thing a warrior has to do or a soldier has to do is eat. So the best way to control them is just through the food supply. Because that's how the European armies used to move. They only moved where there was food. And they only fought as long as they had food. And usually their battles ended because they ran out of food and they were too drunk. Because they couldn't drink the water, so they used to put all their food in beer or toast in beer, and that's why people say toast and they drink things. So usually the European armies would just move where there was food. That's why Julius Caesar came into Napoleon came into Africa. They were after the granary, after the grain supply. Armies move where there's food. And that's essentially all the Greeks and Romans and the Persians, the Syrians, and the Hittites did. Either were too drunk to fight or too hungry to fight. And that usually ended their wars. Nothing complicated about their history. So they have this thing as using food as a weapon. Absolutely. You take away the food supply, they lose. That's why we use foliage agents, anti-foliage agents in Vietnam, which you call Agent Orange. We sprayed it all over their rice paddies. We destroyed their food supply so they couldn't move. That's the whole objective of war. Get rid of the source of supply of food, weapons, bomb the factory, destroy their foods.
A person who called in from a blocked number, your line is open.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes, greetings and good evening to all. It's an honor to be able to speak to Dr. Africa. I have about 5 to 6 questions. Is that too much?
Let's do 3.
Okay. All right, so the first question is, Neely Fuller Jr. wrote The United Independent Compensatory Code System Concept. Have you read the book? If so, do you agree with everything in it?
Read the book. No, Neely Fuller. Done lectures with him. Good work. I recommend that people get a hold of it. Yes. Next question.
Okay, so Neely Fuller says follow the logic. Are there different forms of logic and thinking and learning based on culture?
Absolutely. Logic is nothing more than a ritual with words and thoughts. Everything is a ritual and ceremony. Writing a sentence is a ceremony you use with words. And that ceremony follows the logic of the culture. Some people say run fast, and another culture say fast run. That is the way they process thought. And they're different thought systems, but thought systems come out of culture. So the first thing you have to understand is culture to organize the thought system. You see? So, yes, there are different logic systems. There's circular logic system, diagonal logic system, forward logic systems, and retrograde logic systems. That was the area I was in when I was in psychology, dealing with logic systems and logic modules and how to manipulate and control logical systems, which people call mathematics. So mathematics is a way of teaching different logics. So I was a math major for a while so I could learn different logic systems. That's all mathematics is about. It's not about numbers and adding. It's about teaching other ways to approach logic. But, yeah, they're different logic systems. Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. What is blackness, Africanness, whiteness, and what do you think about interracial relationships?
Blackness, whiteness, that's just someone who's affirming their culture in themselves. Someone who's into blackness is affirming their African culture. That's good. Someone in whiteness is confirming their European culture. That's a good thing. Interracial marriage in this social climate, it doesn't work. If the person has to be free to participate in an interracial or intercultural marriage. And to be free, you must have a group that can protect you and attack your enemy. That's what the basis of freedom is. Freedom means you have to be able to practice your culture at all times and in all situations. And your rights are guaranteed by a group. You cannot have rights written on a paper. Rights is something that only a group can guarantee. And a group is an organization that can protect you by attacking your enemies and protecting you. So we don't have a group on that level to guarantee our freedom, so therefore we don't have it. So the person in this culture situation cannot have an interracial marriage at all because a race defines itself by its culture. And to have a culture, you better protect yourself and attack your enemy. Without that, you don't have a culture. So what you have is some kind of degree of someone trying to be free by marrying their freedom in the form of wife, or someone trying to some kind of way fight back or some kind of way subjugate themselves to be a nigger to a white person. They're psychologically distorted because they're not free. And to be free, you have to have your culture. And you have to be able to practice at all times in all situations. So only a free person can have such a thing. Other than that, there's some kind of psychological distortion going on.
Pam, she is the co-author of Trojan Horse, Death of a Dark Nation. Pam, did you have a question for Dr. Africa?
Good evening, Gus. Dr. Africa, Justice. I wanted to say that I'm so happy to finally hear you. And I love your definition when he asked you about interracial relationships. I have to remember that. I did have a question for you. Are you coming to the Chicago area anytime in the near future?
I think so. It's on my calendar, but I don't have my calendar. I'm just talking right now. Yes.
Okay.
But you can always email me and get the date. Email me at laelaafrica@juno.com.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that?
laelaafrica@juno.com.
juno.com. Okay.
And I can email you the dates back and all that sort of thing.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. I'll just keep listening.
Groovy. Always good to hear from you, Pam. Person who dialed in last four digits 1022. Did you have a question?
Yes. Greetings.
Greetings.
This is King Simon. Hey, Dr. Africa.
Hey, King Simon, the only free man in Africa.
everything is going good, brother. Gus, thank you very much. I want to thank you and your audience, of course. Thank you very much. I just want to let everybody know that although that it's he's doing 2 days here, the event starts, doors open at 2:45, and the event starts, doors open at 2:45, starts at 3:45. Brother Polite and his daughter and his wife will be opening up for Dr. Africa and his wife. And it's $25 per day. And if you buy advanced tickets for 2 days, it's $40 for 2 days. So make sure you get your advanced tickets before February 18th. My office number, those who want to call me, can call me at 347-496-1022. That's my office number if they want to get advanced tickets, whether they want to deal with postal money order, et cetera, et cetera. My number, once again, is 347-496-1022, and that's going to be at the Marcus Garvey Holistic Center. And Dr. Africa, of course, you and your beloved wife are doing a great job, as usual. You know, Dr. Africa, I wanted to ask a question. I'm going to pose a question because a lot of people out here in New York, they seem to be having problems with what's going on in the school system. Now, a lot of schools are being shut down here in New York. What would you suggest our community as a collective do to try to set up our own schools instead of dealing with these Europeans in their schools?
Well, originally we had our own schools during slavery, called them Bush schools anyway. So we always did an alternative education system. And we set them up in homes. Usually we did it after school. We had the children come to someone's house, and we did it on Saturday and Sunday. And we set our schools actually in our house. And from there we may have gotten to a building, like using a church room or something on a weekday or twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then on the weekend. So we just took over the care of our children ourselves, and we did what we had to do then, but we have lost that vision. So I would suggest we start in the home, and there are a lot of homeschool programs available, even black homeschool programs available, and meet at other people's houses once or twice a week and do a weekend. And then switch around, rotate around, so we won't burn out each other, and educate our children.
Okay. Thank you very much, and looking forward to seeing you out here in Brooklyn, New York, February 19th and the 20th. Thank you very much.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, King Simon. Always good to hear from you, sir. let's see. The person that dialed in, last four digits, 4587, 4587, did you have a question?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. How you doing, Dr. Jessica? I want to ask you two questions. One, how old are you? And two, what do you think we should do about the homosexuality problems?
Well, I think I'm 65, and I've been in this health thing for about 40-some years or more, and I've seen these healers come and go, and I've seen them proselytize and rip people off, black ones as well, and as far as homosexuality goes, it's just a part of the European culture, and the objective is not to get involved in that, but understand that we educate our children ourselves and take over our communities ourselves. All these things we're talking about, homosexuality, drug addiction, drive-bys, and all that would be over. We just have to seize control of our community and our culture ourselves, and that will solve the thing. Other than that, we'd be running after getting rid of Ritalin, running after getting someone out of jail, running after this, running after that, and dividing up our energy so dispersely that we can't solve any problem, and that's why they present us with one problem after another. Divide and conquer, they would say. We need to focus on educating our children and being productive and not consumers. And all that other stuff will just fall on the wayside.
Person who dialed in last four digits, 5404, 5404, did you have a question?
Yes. How you doing, Gus, Justice, and Dr. Africa? Without getting too in-depth, could you tell me, because I'm kind of into history a little bit, who the ancient Greeks were?
The ancient Greeks, we call it a Mediterranean nation state. And ancient Greeks were not an organized country, as you say, the United States is a country and Canada is a country. It was an organized of tribes, and whatever tribe that was in charge because it wasn't formally organized as a country any more than France or Germany was. This is all new. We're putting a new definition on a situation in the past that didn't exist. So like you say, in Nigeria and Algeria and Niger and all those Togo, all those places didn't exist. That's new to the continent of Africa. So this concept that we're talking about Greece is mostly a bunch of families. It wasn't organized formally as a country at all. Now, as far as where they came from and where trees came from and where water comes from, that's not my area. I can tell you how they function and what they did, but where air comes from is not in my area at all. I don't get involved in all that. Where did white people come from? Where did Greece come from? Where did Africans come from? Where did ants come from? Where did dirt come from? That's not my area. I can tell you how the function of dirt and ants and people, but I can't get into that one. I'm sorry, but that's about as far as I can go with that. But for those people who are calling, I can answer questions, but sometimes you can email me at lieliafrica@juno, and I can answer your question then, because we are coming into Brooklyn to teach. So we will be teaching holistic science and medicine, holistic counseling course, to help people get certified and be able to help their family and open up a practice if they want. So keep in mind that we're there. Dr. Stevens and I are there to teach and help empower people to take care of themselves, their community, or open up a practice, and we'll certify people.
Five four oh four, was that? Are you good, sir?
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Okay, good job. Good to hear from you. Person who dialed in 2654. Did you have a question for Dr. Africa?
Yes, Gus. Hi, Gus. Hi, Justice. Dr. Africa, what is the difference between overanalyzing white folk and understanding cave nature?
The difference is that we use their psychological system to understand them, so we don't get to understand it. We're using white psychology based on a fairy tale called Oedipus. So we're using a fairy tale to understand the Europeans, and we analyze them using this fairy tale concept. So we're dealing with a belief system and not with reality. The reality is, how does the mind work? How does thoughts function? Where do thoughts come from? What is the neural pathway of a thought? We're not getting into that. We're just using a belief to understand a belief, and we end up in a belief. And that's why psychology is based on a belief that you cannot trust your subconscious. It's a dark part of you. It's an animal nature and all that stuff where you can't trust your mind, you can't trust God, you can't trust the weather because it freezes your food. We got to get away from that and just deal with the reality of how the mind functions. So we have not analyzed white people. That's what I'm saying.
So what are the basic things that we need to know in terms of cave nature, in terms of dealing with white folk?
Well, we have to know that some things is not in our range. I don't know how to fix an airplane. That's out of my range. So there are people that can help you talk to them. And as he mentioned earlier, Neil A. Fuller Jr.'s book, Compensatory Code of White Supremacy, that's a good starting point to help you talk to white people. So we have to start somewhere. So far as dealing with the construct and helping to change things, that's another area, and we do teach holistic psychology, so it gives you the real tools, not the phony tools about some Oedipus and his brother and ego and id and all that fairy tale stuff. So we do teach holistic psychology if someone wants to take that sort of certification.
Uh, 2654, are you good?
I'm good, Gus, for now.
Okay. Thank you for calling in. The person that called in, if you had a question, because there are a lot of people that are on the line, if you have a question, you need to press 1 so I can figure out who is who. Press 1 if you have a question, and the number is 347-215-6071. Person who called in, last 4 digits, 0626. Did you have a question? 0626. Person that dialed in 0626, did you have a question? Okay. Justice, did you have questions? Make sure I didn't forget you. Justice, did you have questions?
If you have offspring, how do you help your offspring learn and understand racism, white supremacy?
I think we lost Dr. Africa. I will dial him back in. Wouldn't be a show if we didn't have a minor tech glitch. In fact, I will take a brief commercial pause, and I'll dial him back in the context of white supremacy. We will be right back.
Is racism hurting you? On issues of race, are you unable to speak, think, and act with clarity and confidence? Are you tired of laughing when nothing is funny, smiling when you are not happy, agreeing when you really disagree? CounterRacism.com, you can learn specific strategies and techniques to counter the behaviors of the people who practice racism in all areas of activity. Using words correctly, following counter-racist logic, even counter-racist science projects designed to reveal what racism is, how it works, and how to counter it. The open source code writing format allows you to pick and choose from a variety of counter-racist suggestions so you can produce the code that works for you. Stop by counterracism.com today and help replace racism with justice.
That's counter-racism.com.
I just had him. I was looking at his number on the switch. Okay. We're dialing. Let's see. My switchboard is reloading. Check and see if we got him back on.
3, 4, 6.
Okay, we got him. Dr. Africa, are you with us? Dr. Africa, are you with us?
To send this message now, press pound. To replay your message, press 3. For additional options, press 9.
Dr. Africa, are you on the line with us, sir? That is really strange.
To send this message now, press pound. To replay your message, press 3. For additional options, press 9.
That is strange. I had him on the switchboard. I think what happened, the line I was going to open that had a hand up, they hung up, and it changed the configuration of my switchboard. Woo, man. Okay. I will try to dial Dr. Africa again. I had him on the line. I don't know what happened. I wasn't hearing him. I will dial him again, see if we can get him back on the line. All right. Dialing again. Hopefully we'll be able to get him back on the line. Okay, I think we have him back. Yes, sir. We can hear you, Dr. Africa. My apologies.
I thought we,
I thought we were going to the 8 o'clock hour. Yep.
Oh, I got this. Oh, I'm sorry. If you need to go, I know you have a super busy schedule. I know Justice, she had one question. Is it okay for her to get in a final?
Yeah,
okay.
Of course.
Okay, Justice, go right ahead.
Dr. Africa, if you have offspring, how do you help your offspring learn and understand racism, white supremacy?
You introduce them to cultures and let them understand how different cultures function and understand that cultures are people that stay together and do things together to protect themselves. And you first take them that step and let them understand God put black people in Africa, Chinese people in China, and as he wanted all of them to be together, they would have all been together. But for some reason, we were all put in separate places, and we did quite well when we stayed in our separate places. And I would go from there, and then I would go to the greatness of our culture, and then I would go to the slave trade. It's the same process as the Jews do. They go to their culture, then they talk about the Holocaust. They don't talk about the Holocaust first. They talk about their culture first. And then they talk about the Holocaust, and that gives the child an understanding of they have to protect themselves so it won't happen again. So we're doing the same system, understand our culture, then go into this other thing about colonialism and slavery and understand we have to protect ourselves so it'll happen again.
Hmm. Can I just ask this one quick question, if that's okay?
It can be a slow question. It doesn't have to be quick. Take your time.
How long do you think racism, white supremacy, will continue to be the most dominant system on the planet?
Probably about another 1,000 years, 2,000 at the most. 1,000 is about as long as any empire lasts, is 2,000 years. That's about it. For the Romans, Greeks, Chinese, Japanese, there were other empires that fell within Japan and China. And those empires don't last long. 2,000 is about the longest anything has ever lasted, and that's it. What we call African Egyptian history. But this is not going to last anymore, about another 1,000, I suppose. But if we don't do something quickly, Africa will be an all-white country in the next 100 years.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing some of your time with us, Dr. Africa. It was a real privilege to hear from you. And, I hope people support the workshop. Again, it's going to be February 19th, February 20th in Brooklyn, New York. If you want to get more information, you heard from King Simon. You can call him up, 718-363-8043. The number again, 718-363-8043. And as you heard from King Simon, $40, you can get a discount, you'll save some dough, and you'll get excellent information for 2 days. Dr. Africa, could you give your email address again one more time before you exit?
Yeah, my email address is LAILAAFRIKA@JUNO.com. That's LailaAfrika@JUNO.com.
Yeah.
If they want to spend money, they can call me, 317-216-8088.
Outstanding. The website, www.drafrika.com. www.drafrika.com. Thank you so much. Learned a ton, and I hope tons of people come out to support the workshop in Brooklyn later this month.
All right. Thank you, my brother. Thanks, Gus. Thanks, Justice. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Have a fantastic evening.
You too.
Context of white supremacy. We took a commercial break. I will not take another break. Justice, do you have any thoughts on the information that you heard today?
It seems like he didn't really care about being on this program, kind of.
Why do you say that?
because the way he was talking at the beginning of the program. But like I think it was because he was maybe nervous. I don't know.
Interesting. I might have to go back and listen. Do you think he had constructive information?
Yeah. And he also said that it will maybe take 1,000 or 2,000 years for racism, white supremacy to be gone. I mean, that's just way over the board.
What do you mean when you say way over the board?
Like, that's just a long time.
Oh, you don't think it's going to take that long?
No.
Oh. Optimistic. Like children. Children, if we could get more children, man, they impatience. I think Dr. Baruti said that on one of the previous broadcasts, that that impatience, I think that can be a good thing. Patience is good, but you don't want to have too much patience. I will check out the folks who called in to see if they have views on anything. See if there's anything I need to touch on. I'm waiting for confirmation, but the female who authored the book My Princess Boy, Cheryl Kilo Davis, we are tentatively looking at Tuesday evening for the program. She's on the West Coast, so it'll be a little bit later. It'll be 10 p.m. Tentatively, we're looking at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. Pacific this Tuesday. That would be Tuesday, February the 8th. Tentative, it'll be, I'll put it up as soon as we lock down a date and time, so you'll see the link and you can tune in to hear what she has to say. I do not know if this is a white person or a non-white person. When I first saw the individual, I thought she was white. I've heard other people who think she's non-white. I spoke with Dr. Welsing about it, and she was under the impression that this was a non-white person. So that'll be real interesting to get that from the very beginning. So, I hope that goes down this Tuesday. Share the links for the program. It's very helpful. Share the links for the program if you think you're getting constructive information. Post it on Twitter, Facebook, all of that is super helpful. Again, I want to give out the address, Tater Pie. She has been doing double time on the plantation, cranking out videos on white identification and mental illness. She has just been really putting in a gigantic effort. She made a whole website that has topic-specific sound clips. The blog address is cowsclips.blogspot.com. Again, it's cowsclips.blogspot.com. I'll link these on the show page, but it's just a collection of different sound clips from all of the guests who've been on the program, and it's addressing a specific subject. So there might be a sound clip on why you should not use the term other when talking about racism, white supremacy. Sound clips on so-called homosexual activity. As I said, you can make suggestions if there are subjects that you think should be covered, but whole website, I hope it's constructive. She really has been putting in just a lot of valuable effort. Share the links. Investing, super helpful. Justice, do you want to plug the blog and your email address?
Sure. Justice.asap@yahoo.com. Again, justice.asap@yahoo.com. Blog address, justdojusticetoday.blogspot.com. Again, justdojusticetoday.blogspot.com.
Groovy. We're building an audience in Germany. I looked at the map and saw that. If those are non-white people who are listening in Germany, I can call Germany. So if you are a non-white person, you're listening over there. Frankfurt, I mean, I think we got more people listening in Frankfurt than in my town. If you are non-white and you, you know, are anywhere in the world, I would love to, you know, have your views on the program, what, you know, what you're observing in your part of the world. Shoot me an email. I can call lots of places. Skype, you know, if you got a Skype account, it doesn't matter at all. But yeah, we would definitely love to hear your perspective. Shoot me an email. Definitely get you on the program. Anybody else in the UK, I'm going to try and do another broadcast this week, towards the end of the week, with black people, non-white people in the United Kingdom. If you're listening out there, and there seem to be quite a few of you now, you know, call in. It would be great to hear from you. I think it's really helpful for a lot of non-white people. White people make it very difficult for non-white people to travel and access different parts of the planet. So this is one way we can kind of compensate for that and being able to communicate. And we're far enough apart that if it goes bad, we can't really easily get into conflict that would escalate. So it's great. And I mean, to be serious, it's an opportunity to get excellent information from non-white people to kind of observe trends and see if white people are doing similar things across the planet. And I think I suspect you will find we're going to find a great deal of consistency. The more we talk to non-white people in different parts of the planet, you're just going to find more of the same, more of the same. So I'm looking forward to it. And if you're out there, like I said, I will call you. It's no problem. I can call if you're in Germany, if you're in the UK, China, even if you're listening, I can call. We can get you on the program. If you can speak English, we want to hear from you if you are a non-white person. And maybe even if you're a racist in those areas. We've had racists from this area of the world. I guess it would be correct to, you know, hear from racists in other parts of the world to, you know, see what they have to say. Again, just looking for friends. So open invitation, more of a global perspective. I will go to the phone lines. Please, you can keep the background noise down. A lot of people are on the line. Mute your line if you're not speaking. If you know you're in a noisy environment, just use your mute button. It's just a real distraction, and it just it really reduces the quality of the program. So if you could keep the background noise down and try not to interrupt, that would be helpful too. If you called in and you have a hand up, I'm going to go ahead and get your line open. And if you're listening, oh, see, already got background noise. 9427, you have a lot of background noise, so I'm not going to open your line up. If you're listening to the show, turn the volume down. If you're listening, like, at a computer, because it just echoes. Okay, we are good so far. Everybody else seems like you're okay. Okay, everybody but 9427, your line is open. Mr. Nero, Non-Mighty Wick, and everybody else who dialed in with a hand up, your line is open.
May I be heard?
Is that you, King Simon? 8162,
yeah, I wanted to say something. I bring up the Justice, not the Snake. I just wanted to let her know that sometimes I've talked to Dr. Africa very personally, and, you know, he's just real tired after 40 years of doing this stuff. He's really fed up with our people, man, and our people are just not getting it. So if he sounds a little condescending sometimes with certain things, he's like one of these guys that's just been, I've watched him lecture, and I've seen white folks run out of the lecture because of how he speaks. And I remember speaking to Lloyd Strayhorn, who I'd have to get on your show. He's a numerologist. He said, Dr. Africa was born January 27th, the number 9, and number 9 seems to be very direct and straight to the point type of people. But like I said, I've spoken to him on a personal level, and he said, you know, he told me he's just tired of a lot of stuff. He's been going through a lot, but he still keeps on working, keep on trying to teach our people. I mean, I don't want to make up anything for him, and I'm sure that man could have, if you would have asked him that question, if he would have answered it. But I know after all these years of going up and down and dealing with not only our folks but other non-white people and also Europeans also, he's kind of perturbed sometimes, but he's really helpful. He's really very, very informative when it comes to certifying people with his his health courses as far as getting them to become holistic practitioners and counselors. And I have to say that a lot of people that I know that have taken his course have really learned a lot from him. And when you do take the course, he's very intimate with you. He really works with you. But the brother has really been so. When you've been doing it for so long and doing this fight for so long, it's just crazy, you know. And I know just by from getting this knowledge and this information from when I was 14 years of age, and you at a young age. I can't wait till Justice is like 30 years old. I know she's gonna be something else. And you're gonna have at least 20 books by that time. but just keep on doing what you're doing, and don't feel no way about Dr. Asper. He really enjoys doing the media. He's just sometimes really, you know, a lot of people get him upset, and it's probably not you or not the program. It's just what he has to deal with overall. All the time, every day, all day. That's what he deals with. So, enough respect to all of you listening to the Cal Show.
Okay. And again, thank you, King Simon. Very helpful in getting Eitan Edwards, Brother Polite, Dr. Africa, lots of folks on the program, and probably be more folks. Stay tuned. So, yeah, very. Very helpful supporter of the cows.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Did you want to give out any more information about the two-day seminar?
Oh, yeah. I really like people to come out for the both days because this would be the first time that Polite, his daughter, and his wife will be also doing a dissertation all together as one right before Dr. Africa come out. So it's good to see that they're going to – and Dr. Africa's wife is also actually participating also, Dr. Melanie Stevenson. She's also going to be really working. It's like a family event. Children are free. Children are age of 13 years and under are free. And it's a family event. So if you have a family, if you come as a family, like I said, it's $40 for 2 days, $25 per day. Bring your children because they need to learn from the young because Renintet, which is Polite's daughter, she's 12 years old. You definitely would like to hear how she speaks on health and the importance of feeding our children right and all that kind of stuff and what they do to prepare themselves for fast. You have to teach your children how to fast, how to stop eating at some times. They can't be gluttonous, you know. And this is, I think, Polite and his family is a prime example of doing that because even his little daughter will not eat at 3 years old, 3-4 years old. She will not eat at all. If he said it's a fast going on for 2 days, she will not eat. She'll just drink liquor. drink liquids, liquids, and just stay on a liquid diet until, you know, the father says, let's do what we got to do. But it's a training that's going on just in case this community shuts down, just in case they put us under siege. You know how white supremacy is. At any moment now, they can just lock down communities, quarantine communities. And if you got to learn how to fast and how to be quiet, how to discipline yourself, a lot of our children won't make. A lot of our children are going to compromise our adults when times of emergency. I can only imagine what poor Harriet Tubman went through when she had to silence a few of the slaves that she was trying to get across the border and try to help. Some of them she probably had to take them out. She had a gun. She was ready to take them out. So I can only imagine what we'll have to go through if this ever happens in any of our communities where we'll have to move silently. And then your baby, because your child is too filled up with sugar or too filled up with glucose and all that, won't stop making noise. You're going to have to hold that child's mouth and move because that will determine life or death in certain situations. It's all because we're at war. And you got to remember that. The man just said we're at war, and we've been at war for a long time. And as far as I've heard on this show even specified that we are at war. And if we don't learn to train those children on how to maintain a certain eating habit, how to stop eating at certain days, how to eat every other day or eat one meal a day, we're going to have problems. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
King Simon. Again, is this the correct number? I'm just reading what's on the flyer, 718-363-8043.
Well, that's the venue, and the other one was my cell phone number that I gave, which is 347-496-1022. That's my office number, 347-496-1022. It's public knowledge. You can always check out my phone numbers and all my flyers on any site. You can go to my website, kingsimonproductions.com, or hit me up on Facebook, King Solomon. That's all Facebook is. You don't know my real birthday. You don't know nothing. All you know is what I'm promoting on Facebook. Don't hit me up with any foolishness. I just deal with what I'm dealing with and how we can help these people. I even have a weekly workshops every week, Wednesdays in Brooklyn. And for only $10, you can actually learn. We had Aton Edwards last week. This week we have Polite Teaching Language and Tones. Next week we have a health thing on crystal healing and water, the importance of magnetic water, and learning how to purify your water. And then with the week after, we have Abundance Child teaching on law, which is natural law, common law, and birthright. So, and we're going to be giving away exemption papers for vaccine. We're going to be giving away exemption papers for vaccine on the fourth week of February for Black History Month. We're doing it for so-called Black History Month. As far as I'm concerned, we have original history forever. But we'll be giving away exemption papers. Those who want to be vaccines, we'll be doing that. So, okay, so just give me a call if you want to come out. If you have family members in the tri-state area, call me at 347-496-1022.
King Simon, always good to hear from you, sir. Yeah, I hope, like I said, I hope a lot of folks get out to that two-day seminar. We have a lot of people listening in the tri-state area, so hopefully they will make plans.
I wait for you and Justice to come out and do a lecture soon, bro.
You keep saying it enough. Man, me and Justice and I will have to sit down and, you know, make plans,
Well, that was just fun.
I know they would love you, Justice. Don't worry. You need to come. You and Gus, even if Gus just lets you take over, it's all right. You should just take over. I know I was just watching Dr. Blinn. Dr. Blinn said, thoughts are things. So if I keep on thinking it, it's going to happen. That's how I do. I got to give you his number, too, Dr. Blinn, if you haven't had him on your show.
I have not. I believe one of the gentlemen on the line was just talking about having him on the program, so I know at least one person would be pleased about that.
Well, great. I have him coming in New York on April the 10th, so hey, we can make it happen anytime.
Okay. Yeah, I'm game. I'm game.
And I'll let you know about Dr. Sabe as soon as we confirm the date.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yes, sir.
All right, sir. But I'm still listening. Go ahead, brother.
Oh, yeah, your line is open. The other two people that called in, I got you as well. Thank you all for doing such a splendid job with the background noise. Super appreciate it. Everybody that called in, your line is open. Yeah, I can hear television. I just gave a compliment, and now I hear the background noise.
Hello, this is Pam.
Hey, Pam.
Hey, I just wanted to make a quick comment. I thought it was really interesting when Dr. Africa mentioned that in 100 years, Africa will be predominantly white. And if something is not done, he said, I guess Africa could be predominantly white. And it reminded me of the 2012 movie, if anybody's seen that. Remember, the Earth was going through some kind of catastrophic event, and it was going to wipe out all humanity, and they built these arcs. And guess where the arcs were headed? They were the arcs were mostly rich white people. I hope I'm not spoiling the movie for anybody who hasn't seen it, but they were the only people that could afford a ticket on the arcs were mostly rich white people. They had a handful of Asians, no brown people to my recollection, no African people, and they had one black man and one black woman who were some main characters in the story. And guess where they were headed? They were headed to Africa to restart humanity with mostly white people. So that just goes to show you the mindset that was revealed in that movie, that they revealed that they know that Africa would be the place to go to restart humanity, but they plan on being the main ones there.
Now, see, I reinterpreted that scene because I saw the movie, Pam, this is Mr. Nero. I interpreted that scene as them, reinvading Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the only continent that did not get hit by any of the disasters.
Okay.
And, I mean, that was how I interpreted it.
So you think the Africans were still, because I couldn't really just, I wasn't sure whether Africans still there. And I guess, you know, if they were going there, probably the Africans were still there.
Yeah, I mean, it was the only continent that didn't get affected by, you know, what was happening during all the chaos, so which was just silly, you know, the way they did it. But and then to show the three ships, you know, I thought was symbolic of the slave trade. So interesting movie, very interesting movie. A lot of racism in it.
Yes, and I think you're right. I think they were going to invade it because if the Africans didn't survive, why would they have gone there? So they were going to take it over.
Exactly.
Yep. So I just thought that was interesting when Dr. Africa said that, you know. Thousand years, huh?
Maybe two.
You know, and when Justice started talking right after that, I knew exactly what she, I just felt it in my bone. I said, I know she's going to say something about the thousand years because I was thinking about it myself. You know, I was hoping for a different answer. Although I've heard that similar answer before, but, you know, it's just like, you know, no, come on. That's, you know, in our lifetime, that just seems like a million lifetimes.
Yeah, he said. Go ahead.
We got 3 minutes left in the live stream, so you should probably call now if you think you want to continue listening live, or if you think you want to speak, you should probably call now. The number is 347-215-6071. Again, 347-215-6071. And put a hand, you have to press 1 to put a hand up if you are interested in speaking, if you call in. Sorry. Go ahead, Justice.
And so, Pam, you said 1,000, and you also said 2,000 years.
Yeah,
that's
I think that from what I took from what Dr. Africa was saying in that regard is that save some event or some major event that takes place, whether non-white people are responsible for changing the course of history. If we continue on the road that we're on now. Maybe it would be 1,000 to 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the way I took it too. Was that it's not that it's inevitable, but that if we continue the way we're going, and you know, you kind of have to wonder, we can't even withstand another 1,000 years of war, not in our condition, not the way that we're not fighting back. So we better do something, because we can't do this for another 1,000 years. We'd be wiped out.
I think that was some of the frustration that King Simon was talking about, too, like doing this work so long and kind of just having to deal with other victims who are confused and white people working with racists in the military. Like some of that could just be, you know, frustration. And he's a black male. Like I was thinking that, too, like doing all this work and he's still a black male. That's
exactly.
That's a tough road to have to walk, man.
There
that's
is.
A.
Exactly, and plus, remember, he said he had to deal in the psychological minds of these people. So he got into their psyche. People forget he had to stay 8 hours a day with these people studying their psyche. Mm-hmm. So it's hard. I mean, it's like becoming an actor and having to take on all these different types of people's roles.
Did you all know that? I'm sorry, sir. Did you all know that information about him, that he used to work as a therapist in the military?
I knew about it.
Not until he said
it. I know about it.
You know, you think about all the people and all the things that he's seen and all of the great work, you know, the people like Neely and Dr. Wellesley, and then when you look at our condition today, you know, that's what I got, too. He just sounded like his soul was weary. I didn't think he was disinterested. I thought his soul was weary. And just a little bit of time that I've been less confused, I'm freaking worn out. I feel like just going around and slapping black people left and right, you know, because I just want to wake up. Because, I mean, look at the little short time I've been so-called even thinking about it. And it's just so distressing when you see the mentality the MTV and the BET generation. You're like, how can they carry on anything? How can they continue to fight? Look at their minds.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, I'm just now hearing of Neely Fuller Jr. and to know that he's been out for 30 years doing this kind of work, you're like, whoa! Like, I guess when you kind of become less confused, you're kind of naive, and you say, well, if we could just get this out to the masses, if enough people heard this information, things would change. And then you realize, man, this guy has been working. Dr. Francis Kress, these people have been working for decades.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I was just agreeing. Go ahead.
No, you know, I work around Eitan Edwards also, and for a person who's into the survival community, he's perturbed at our people also. I'm telling you, he's just ready to just go off grid. I know so many survivalists that's just ready to go off grid. Don't. They're tired. Tired of teaching and tired of educating, and still falling back into the same slump. I think I've seen Chris Rock do something on one of his television shows where black people were moving forward, and then they just do something on television that's just moving right back. It just happens like that. And it's been doing, like you're talking about somebody like Dr. Africa who's been experiencing this for 40 years.
Mm-hmm. It's a thankless job. I think anybody seriously, this is my opinion, I'm looking at it for myself, don't expect much gratitude. Don't expect anything. Expect nothing. You might get a little something. But this is a thankless job. What Gus is doing is a thankless job. The minority of people are going to appreciate it. All you can do is keep planting the seed, knowing that most of them are going to die. So when you look at somebody like Neely Fuller that's been out there for 40 years, Dr. Welsing, or Dr. Africa, they have every right to be tired. And you have to respect them that they didn't give up. So with his tone, I was catching his tone. He sounded kind of like, you know, you could misinterpret it like he was like, okay, whatever, next question. But I see it. There's no way he's bored. There's no way he doesn't want to be there. He's devoted his life to it. He's just watching, you know, all his time and energy, not reaping the type of effect that it should have, you know.
Right, exactly.
So, I don't follow him at all. I kind of got a kick out of his attitude because I was like, yeah, that's right. Keep it real. You're not here to make friends. You're not here to be nice. You're here to give information. You don't have to be nice to us. You really don't. Just don't be rude, but you don't have to be nice.
That's what I love about his lectures. That's what I love about it. He's straight to the point, direct. Straight to the point. Hits you right in your jaw. Boom. What are you saying? I love that.
Yeah. We got to be tough so that, you know, that we don't make it a personality thing. We have to get tougher, and you know, because there's some tough days coming. So we can't be like everybody's got to be nicey-nicey because that's not going to work, you know. Not in my opinion, anyway.
I agree.
But I know what you were saying. I caught, you know, I kind of, you know, you couldn't help but catch the tone a little bit and wonder for a minute what that was about. But, I think he's tired because he loves us. He loves his people. And he doesn't see very many, he doesn't know if we're going to do what we need to do.
Yeah.
Kind of heartbreaking, you know.
That's exactly what I got from Dr. Africa when I saw him in person in a lecture back in 2006, that, of course, he was much the same way he was tonight. But never did I ever feel as though he was condescending or anything like that. I just felt that he, this is a very hard work, but that what's driving him at this point is his love for his people, and I respect that about him.
You got to love black people to deal with black people. You just got to.
That's right.
You really do, because the very people that you're trying to help, I'm sure like him and Mr. Fuller, somebody told me the other day that Neely Fuller seemed kind of distant when he talked to him, and I said, well, you know, he's got to protect himself too. A lot of the people that are coming toward him, that claim to love him and respect him, are sick people. So even, you know, to deal with black people, you got to be prepared. You know, it's not easy. It's not easy at all. Man.
If I may, can I be heard?
I can hear you.
Okay. I just want to caution the listeners as well as Justice or anyone else on the phone. I never asked the question of how long is it going to take? Because it seems to me just in asking that question, you give up your power. You almost in essence are saying you want someone else to fix the problem. I think a better, a healthier way to look at this thing is we got to end it, and we just don't know when, because the truth is no one knows when it's going to end. That's really the truthful answer. We don't know. But we do know this. We have to put a stop to it. They're not going to stop doing it.
Nope.
So as long as you are committed to continuing to do what it is you're doing to replace it, that's all you have to keep in mind so that you don't get discouraged, so that you don't start, you know, saying to yourself, gee, how much longer is this going to take?
Mm-hmm.
Just throw that completely out. Because even with that, when you say how much time, they control time. Keep that in mind as well. They control. When you go look at the calendar, what's today's date? January? That's not something we came up with.
It's February, Mr. Nero. It's February.
Oh, my bad.
I thought it was January, too. This is going so quick.
See, even I get corrected. It's still their time. So we're not even going to deal with how long. Because I don't want people to get discouraged.
Right.
Just keep chipping away, mm-hmm. and eventually you'll look up and it'll be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Eat an elephant one bite at a time, and we are dealing with an elephant.
Mm-hmm. And there's people all over the world taking bites out of it. We
that
don't
is correct.
Know that there's a lot of people out there that are starting to, you know, who decided all over the world we're not going to go through this 1492 again.
Right. Problem is just not enough of us are taking bites.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal, our objective is to get the people around us, the black folks, the non-white people that we deal with on a daily basis, to start taking their bite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to eat alone.
Right. Yeah.
I was listening to a video that Mr. Williams, Edward Williams, placed online, and he made a very, very key point in stating that we shouldn't be preoccupied with why, that our focus should be on how to counter racism and how to replace the system of racism, white supremacy, with a system of justice. And once we do that, then we can go back to asking why, you know, psychoanalyzing and all of that. Let's, you know, from what I gathered, he was saying, let's leave that for later and just stick with the how to counter racism. And I think that Dr. Africa, when Gus, you asked him the question about how to argue and between, you know, non-white people in relationships, and his suggestions was very constructive. That is an example of how to counter racism. So I think that if we just remain focused on that, we could get somewhere from point A to point B very fast and most efficient.
And I also want to add, I don't believe they asked the question how long it was going to take for them to get everybody under their control. They just started doing the dang thing.
Yeah, I don't know what they did. My observation of white people, when they do plans, they tend to have a timetable of, you know, when they expect this project to be completed, and they tend to be sticklers for getting things done on a time schedule. So I don't know, but that's just been my observation.
That's been mine as well. Don't get me wrong, that's been mine as well. And they do set goals, don't get me wrong, because they've done that with outer space, but they do not always hit their goals. So I agree. They do. They will put a time on it.
Yes, they will.
I've seen them do that as well. But they don't always
hit. They don't get discouraged, though, when they don't hit those timetables.
The majority of these people have taken the Napoleon Hill course, and they learn to be patient. They learn to be patient and keep on working diligently on their goal. And that's what we have fallen short at. We need like 300 to 3,000 justices and keep on working diligently. We need to keep on producing, because that's why they have Planned Parenthood, to destroy us from having children. They don't want us to produce children. Those children are the ones that's going to make it happen. Mm-hmm. It happened in the other civilization where the young always stood up and did what they had to do to turn over the society. It's mm-hmm. going to happen again through the children. I admire Justice and all the rest of these children that are coming up mm-hmm. and doing what they have to do.
And they learn from their mistakes. They don't stop because they make a mistake. They learn
exactly.
from it. And I think people who feel powerless think a mistake means the end. No, a mistake is just means you got to refine it. So they learn from their mistakes and they move on to
right.
do better the next time, you know.
Right.
We can learn a lot from white supremacists. We really could. If
You're
we
right.
really got out of the emotional aspect of it and just looked at them clinically like they look at us.
I don't know if you guys would be interested, but I've wrote a research paper on health.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone wants to read it, I can send it to them.
Okay. What do you need, our email?
Yes.
Okay, I can give you mine real quick. It's real easy. You probably heard it a million times. info@trojanhorse1.com. Yeah,
okay.
I'd like to read it. I'll definitely get back with you, too.
Yeah,
okay.
Me too, Justice. You can send it to King,
as well.
You can send it to King Simon Productions at Gmail, King Simon Productions, Productions with an S.
Okay.
No problem.
And if you could also send it to Taran B, TORRAHNB @gmail.com, I would like to look at it with my daughter as well.
Okay.
Maybe you could put it on your blog.
No, I was just
about
yeah.
to yeah, I could do that.
I'm not sure where that's coming from.
That's noisy.
Very.
Somebody hang up, maybe?
Somebody had someone on three-way, maybe? Okay. Figured out whose line it was. Sorry about that. Person is 6285. I have no idea what is going on with your line. Person is 6285. I have no idea what's going on with your line, but the noise was coming from you, so I muted your line.
Okay, so I thought it was me. Gus.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Did you get to speak to Paul Mooney yet? Because I know he's coming to New York this weekend, next weekend.
I will give him a jingle. I was going down my list. I hadn't really been able to prioritize the whole thing. But, yes, I will give him a call because someone else just talked to me about him. I will give him a jingle.
Right, right. Dick Gregory was just here too, so I know I gave you Dick Gregory's number.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I have to fax him.
I got to
bust my thing out.
Yeah.
Fax, old school, man. Old school.
Word. I think he still have candles in his house. I'm not sure. Wait, he was.
Yeah, he's tough. Yeah, I'm going to fax him. I was thinking that would be cool to have him have both of them on this month. So yeah, I will do that once this wraps up. I'll give him a jingle.
Okay, good.
Wow. Did you all? Oh yeah, I did. I love the. I'm gonna make that a sound clip. The caller that brought up his suggestion on how to get out of an argument. I will say that does take some skill, because I think once your emotions get rolling and when someone is doing things to upset you and you feel like they're doing it on purpose or just, you know, you really feel strongly about something, I know it can be difficult to kind of let it go, but man, I thought that was great. Like, what are we talking about? You know, is this helping me? Is this helping this person? Is this, you know, is this our greater purpose? Is this towards justice? And if it's not, then, you know, what are we doing?
Yeah. Taking all that frustration on each other. Yeah.
I'm sure out of all the folks who are listening, someone has been watching the Super Bowl. Have you all seen any commercials or anything at all that, you know, made you think of racism, white supremacy?
Yeah, quite a few, actually. Let me think back, because I was really more interested in listening to Dr. Africa. But I did get a chance to catch some of the imagery of the one of the commercials where I guess it was a Pepsi commercial, Pepsi Max commercial, where it's a non-white couple, a black male, female, and she's real, real bossy and henpecking him and doing things to him. Like one time he was eating a sandwich and she snatched it out of his hand he was hiding in the tub and he was about to bite into a sandwich. She reached in, grabbed it, and then replaced the and put a bar of soap in his mouth. Mm. And I can't think of the other images, but the last one that really stuck out was when they were in the park. And they were sitting down. They both had a Pepsi Max. And a white female was jogging past them. And then she went and sat right on the bench next to him. And, of course, he was looking at her. And, you know, his expression was, you know, wow, look at her. And of course, it made the non-white female, his mate, very jealous, and she threw her can of Pepsi Max was throwing it at him. He ducked, and it hit the white female in the face, and she fell off the bench, and then the two of them took off running.
You said this was in the Super Bowl this today?
Yes, it just
happened. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've seen that myself.
Wow. They're getting more and more blatant.
And there was a lot there was one... a Doritos commercial where there was some homoerotic imagery in the break room with a non-white black male and a white male. When the non-white male was finishing up the bag of Doritos, the white male grabbed his hand and put his finger in his mouth and was sucking on it.
Oh, come on. I'm sorry. Are you serious?
I am serious.
That is a
That is
a couple seconds later, another white male was wiping the Doritos crumbs on his pants pocket. and the other white male came up and ripped his pants off and then started sniffing the area of his pants that he was wiping.
Oh,
and I just thought this
really
is
inappropriate.
This is terrible.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
There's one more that I've seen. It was careerbuilder.com. Like I said, I have the TV all the way down. But a white guy pulls up in the parking lot, and I guess he's going for a job interview, and he's getting ready to get out of his car. And then on one side, a car pulls up so close to him that he can't get out the driver's side of the car, and then jumps out two monkeys with briefcases, right? So he gets ready to get out the other side, the passenger side of his car, and another car pulls up and smashes him in to where he can't get out that side of his car, and then another monkey jumps out with a briefcase.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was careerbuilder.com.
Planet of the Apes.
They're revealing themselves, that's all. They're revealing themselves.
Is Career Builder the one that had the blackmail lane? That wasn't Career Builder. It was some career commercial or website where the black guy is kind of overweight and he's laying on his stomach with his butt in the air, and this white guy, it looks like he's getting ready to lay down on top of him.
Oh, yeah.
The Ladder.
And
the Ladder. The
same company.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a different company. That's
right.
A different
but it's
company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the white one, in another clip, a white female is standing with her high heel shoe on the black man's back or buttocks or something. And he's still the same guy that's kind of plump with a big round butt who's got his butt kind of sticking up in the air and she's stepping on him.
It's on
know.
My blog.
Yeah.
If you want to see those, yeah, it's on my blog. I have it's two separate commercials. But both of them, they have a black male on the floor, very homoerotic. One of them has got a white woman, like you just said, with her foot on his back. The other one has got like he's gyrating with another white man with his shirt open. Yeah, it's on my blog. You can check. And it's actually two different black males. It's two different black males. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But they're both overweight and, you know, posed very sexually, very homoerotic. It's just real. And it's theladder.com. It's two different groups. Theladder.com
okay.
is this commercial. And the one got the black male with the white woman with her foot on top of the black male on the ground. A white man hops over him en route to his office in the commercial.
Wow. I mean, do people even see this? I don't really care what white people see it or not, but are black people seeing this? The commercials where the black female is always antagonistic and treats the black man like a child, and then the white people come along and dominate him? Is everybody supposed to dominate black men?
Yeah, when I was more confused, I've seen things like this all the time, and sometimes I have to ask myself now, like, what was I try to, I don't know what the word is, try to jump back into my former self. What was I thinking when I was watching stuff like this? Or was I thinking at all?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder how much hostility that builds up, you know, between, say, a black man watching that and watching it constantly showing black women disrespecting black men, you know, which I think is the purpose, to make the black man think, you know, that the black woman is just bad news, avoid her at all costs. Yeah.
Well, it's like Dr. Africa mentioned earlier how In our childhood, we're programmed through these fairy tales to have such a low opinion of black females at an early age.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And there's no way to have a low opinion of the black female when you come from a black female and it not result in a low opinion of yourself. I mean, you can't separate them. Just can't. Maybe, you know, it's just no way to do it. I know people try, but you can't do it. In my opinion, anyway.
Well, you know, we come from a female hating society to mm-hmm. begin with. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, being that we are subjugated to this dictatorship, that we're going to take on the psychology of those who dominate us. Mm-hmm. And so I think it falls right in line with the whole plan.
Yeah. Absolutely right. You think about it, the biggest gender wars on the planet are between the white male and white female, and started in the cave with him yanking her out by her hair and raping her. So they've had nothing but a gender war ever since. And everybody that's imitating them and influenced by them is going to have problems between males and females just by sheer imitation.
That's another thing that Dr. Africa brought up early, that white people suffer from post-cave traumatic disorder, or from being in a cave, and from what he said, that it fundamentally gave them the, you know, everything that we have to deal with at this point, or what we have been dealing with, and that the only way for them to overcome that is through themselves, that there's nothing non-white people can say or do to make them change or heal them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I wish we got that through our heads, that we can't change them. We got to change ourselves. We can't change them.
Right.
And then I think he said something about the weather being an enemy, because the conditions they live under, they saw nature as something to conquer, you know. And you can kind of see it now, you know, the whole Western medicine, everything about them is conquer, destroy, burn. If you got cancer, I'm going to burn it out of your body. You know, so I think they're aggressive because they were born in fear. And fear will make you dangerously aggressive. And I do see that in them, that they're very fearful.
Oh, that was so great. I'm sorry. The Steelers, I haven't looked at the score of the game. I haven't watched it. I was even trying to think of the last Super Bowl that I actually watched. In fact, I was thinking, if anything, I would like to just watch the commercials from the Super Bowl to see, you know, more of what the gentleman was talking about. At any rate, I suspect the Steelers are going to win. White people seem to like that team a lot, and I wasn't even thinking of S-T-E-A-L, steal, as in theft. I wasn't even thinking of that, but yeah, very appropriate. Steelers are in the Super Bowl, and I suspect they will win.
Yeah. Would have never put that together.
Oh, my goodness. The gentleman, 5404?
Yeah.
Okay. Is this D from Reckless 2.0?
No.
Oh, man. Messing up the voices. My bad. Okay, did you make the suggestion, because I might be wrong about this, I might be 0 for 2, did you make the suggestion about the game on a previous broadcast?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. I watched an episode yesterday, man, it was worse than when I watched Sanford and Son. I was just stunned. I was like, I can't even believe it's this bad. Because this is current. Like, this is not watching something that, you know, this is 30 years ago or 50 years ago. I think season 4 of the game, is that the current season that they're on?
I believe so. I haven't watched the whole episode, but I have watched, you know, like maybe 10 minutes here and there of it, and that was enough to see, like, whoa. This is something that I knew you would be able to pick apart.
It was pretty out of control. Like, they were, the only thing I can say is that it is, it's trying to be like a black soap opera, but the minstrelsy is so strong that they can't even do it. Like, they can't even pull it off being serious. Like, I mean, yeah, I can't. I would have to play the program for you and break it down, but they can't even pull it off as being a soap opera. Like, it's just a minstrel show where they have some moments where they don't laugh. That's about the best description I can give you of it.
The executive producer is Kelsey Grammer. If anybody's familiar with him, he was in Cheers a long time ago, and he had his own sitcom show. I can't remember. He always plays like a super smart guy or something.
Frasier?
Like that. Frasier, exactly.
Right,
he's
right.
The executive producer of the show.
And wasn't he the executive producer of Girlfriends, too?
I'm not sure. Was he?
I think so. I'm pretty sure he was.
Well, he has a long history with these so-called black shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and keep in mind that on show that he, what was the name of that show where he played a psychologist or a radio psychiatrist?
Frasier?
You know. Yeah, oh yeah, Frasier, that's Frasier. Yeah, that on that show, he and his brother were both, had a psychology background.
Super smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also, if you want to talk about non-white soap operas, I've seen previews of some coming from West Africa, particularly Ghana, and I found them to be shocking, to say the least. It's just something about them. When we try to do them, and it takes on a whole another effect, a whole new level. And though they're going for drama and trying to play out true-to-life scenarios, but some of the imagery that I've seen in the previews leads me to believe that, they didn't have to go that far in some of the scenes that I remember seeing. And I just remember myself, this is not worth watching.
I've ridden in a cab, taxi, New York taxi cab with people from Ghana and Nigeria. I heard an African guy on the phone speaking like he was a hip-hop artist, calling our women B-I-T-C-H and all kinds of stuff on the phone, and how many B-I-T-C-Hs he got, how many Bs he got, how many... I said, is this guy from Africa? Sounded like he come from, like he's 50 cents. Oh, man, they everybody's corrupted. Man. Everybody, the whole earth needs a purging, a real purge. You need a purge. I think Bob Marley said it best: only solution, total destruction. They need the purge. Serious.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's something. And like I said, they if you check it out, if you do a little research, black people, non-white people lobbied to get that show back on. That show was it was over with. They weren't going to bring it back. They weren't going to bring it back.
Mm-hmm. I heard that too.
They lobbied to get that show back on.
And if you find anybody, I know one brother came on and he was criticizing it about 2 or 3 years ago on Black Voices. You know, he started a post or something and he was criticizing it, and he was getting hit left and right. He was trying to tell the sisters, yeah, here you got a show, so-called black show, and the only one that's married to a black man is a white woman. And he was telling them that how can you not see that as disrespect, that it's okay for the two black women on the show, one to live with a black man and fuss and fight with him all the time, and the other sister, the browner-skinned sister, she couldn't get a man, And yet you got this white female happily married to a black man. And he was trying to tell him, you know, this is a put down. You know, this is a terrible thing for you to sit there and watch and think it's normal. And this sister came out the woodwork on him. I mean, they really offended. I mean, you know, so it's like Brother Dr. Africa said, there's going to be a lot of casualties. I just have to accept that. Some people are not going to respond to treatment. If they get any. Yeah.
I'm just looking at some of the episode titles for the game. Some of the episodes that Kelsey Grammer executive produced. One of the episodes, this is from 2007, Turkey Basting Bees.
What?
That's one of the titles of the episode that he executive produced. Another title that he produced is White Men Can't Jump, But They're Definitely Packing.
What?
That's the title of one. Another one is White Coats and White Lies. That's the title of another one.
Boy, boy.
It's funny you said that, Pam, because I was watching a clip of an episode, and there was a black female, and she was on the show talking about how she got these men through this, that, and the other through being a whore, for lack of a better word. And the one female, I guess she's a doctor or something like that, and she's educated, and she was, you know, saying that her behavior was incorrect. And instead of them getting behind her, they got behind the one that was doing the whorish behavior and started to chastise the so-called educated one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I mean that you know, that's a prime example of the programming that that we receive.
Mm-hmm. Especially the young people, because they watch that and, you know, they don't really understand they're being programmed. I remember one episode where the brownest skinned sister, the lightest skinned black female with long hair. She has a man, but he's not married to her. So the browner skinned female, she can't get a man. And so they had an episode where she was dating this black guy. He took her over to the house of his friends, all of them white, and they're all sitting around. They had all slept together. So she's looking and listening, and this is the only episode I watched from end to end. And they were sitting there looking at she was looking at this, and she, you know, you could see that she was thinking, what's wrong with them? They've all slept together, including the black guy has slept with the white women in the room. And so at some point she gets up while they're talking and starts doing the dishes. So I'm like, why is she getting up in somebody else's house and doing dishes? So she's over there doing the dishes, and, you know, I think somebody said something to her. She said, no, it's okay, blah, blah. So then at some point she said, you know, you guys keep on conversating. So then the white guy makes fun of her using a word that didn't exist. So, of course, she starts rolling her neck and snapping on him and everything. And so the black guy takes her home, and his parting words to her the next day was, I can't deal with an angry woman. An angry black woman, you know. You're too angry. And that was his reason for breaking up with her. And I said, here it is, every stereotype. You know, she gets up and does dishes for the white folks. She don't know what they're really talking about, so she uses conversate, which, you know, I don't care about using the word. And then she gets angry and rolls her neck and all this other stuff. And then the black guy dumps her because she's an angry black woman. I'm like, man. Whew. Psychological warfare.
Yep. And not only, I remember that episode, and then he not only that, he went on to say to her in depth about how the white guy was there for him at his time of need, and just really hammering home how the white guy was his friend.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's I've seen a scenario like that in real life, where I've tried to say things about white people and non-white people go out of their way to tell me how much mm-hmm. white people have helped them in their mm-hmm. time of need. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's, I don't know. I don't know how you combat with that.
And the crazy thing is, the same people will tell you in the next conversation that they're experiencing some racism. Now, sometimes they'll deny that they've ever experienced it. But I just find mm-hmm. it strange that you could sit here and say white people are blah, 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 wonderful, and at the next breath, you're getting mistreated by it. I mean, it's just stupid. I shouldn't call it stupid. No name calling. I understand. But, you know, I mean, don't you know if somebody, don't you know that you're getting mistreated? I guess maybe you don't. I don't know.
I think we've normalized our mistreatment, though. I think we've normalized it, and
yeah.
We used to enjoy Sanford and Son, you know. I mean, really, I think I have wanted to get white people on the program to talk about that because I have been around white people who have admitted that they have been in an environment where there was a black person, only one black person, everyone else was white. The black person was being mistreated. Mm-hmm. The black person was the only one present who did not know racism was being practiced. Mm-hmm. That was one of the first things that stood out to me when I really started spending more time studying white supremacy was that is the case 90% of the time. We are so confused in the refinement stage. Racism is being practiced, and we are totally oblivious.
Gus, can I be heard?
I seen that.
Yes, sir.
It was a commercial that was just broadcasted that's specifically speaking to the point that you just made. It was a Chrysler commercial, and Eminem is driving a car. He goes into a black church. The people singing in the choir are dressed in that black and red, like that black widow spider type thing. And he walks in the church. And he looks at the choir, then he looks at the camera, and he says, "This is what we do." And then he walks out of the church and gets back in his car and pulls off. You know what I mean? But not to see exactly what they're saying, people would think it's a commercial about cars, you know?
Wow. See, that's why I said I just want to see the commercials from the Super Bowl. But, I mean, Eminem, that's the Tim Wise of music and entertainment. That is incredible. And I bet you would have a lot of black people who would applaud at that commercial and say, right on. And if you said anything about it, they would call you a racist.
Right.
Non Mighty Wick, your mic is open. We can hear you, Non Mighty Wick.
Can I be heard?
Yes,
hello?
Sir.
Okay. I was just going to say, I haven't seen that show, The Game, but I've seen a clip. And so the example you're talking about where it's a one black person around a whole bunch of white people, and then the black person don't know that the white people practicing racism. I think that worked the other way around, too, just like the guy said in the Eminem commercial. But on that show, The Game, I've seen a clip on a show called Dime Wars or something like that. It's Monique is the host or something, and it's just one white person there. It's the female from the show, and she says something like she fits in with black people because she's so loud, too. There's nothing but black people there, and they're just laughing and rolling, you know, like it's the funniest thing. So, I mean, we're just so confused during the refinement stage. I don't think it's a matter of, you know, if we buy ourselves around a bunch of white people or around a bunch of other confused victims, you know.
It was interesting. Before the game came on, they had a Walter Payton Humanitarian Award being given out, and the guy that won, his name is Matty Williams, but it was him and two other NFL players, and they gave him the award for humanitarian purposes, and they simulcast his interview, and he was in some foreign land surrounded by U.S. military personnel, you know?
Yep. Man, it seems like they're getting more and more blatant with their message, I guess because they realize that they work and that the victims don't recognize warfare. So I guess they're getting bolder and bolder with it.
Yeah, and if I could add, all those military personnel that he was surrounded by in the shot that I seen were all white.
That's right.
Wow.
Wow.
Gus.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What's going on with Tim Wise, man? I try to get him to debate, and he just really stepped back. I wanted him to get to it because of what he said on your show about in regards to Dr. Francis Cress Weldon. You know, Dr. Africa was willing to debate him on that about that too. He was willing to get in on him, really deal with that. We wanted to set up a nice head debate in New York with Tim Wise and Dr. Africa. That would have been nice. Either him or Phil Valentine, one of them wanted to do it.
I was looking on Wikipedia and I was looking at Dr. Francis Cress Weldon, and they used the same terminology, pseudoscience. So
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm wondering, did he get his did he get his info from Wikipedia?
I saw that too. I saw that line too on Wikipedia. Yeah.
Does anyone know? Oh, I'm sorry, 8162. I was just curious if anyone knows the procedure for Wikipedia and writing, because I think if the way it works, if you register, one of us could sign up or join and then edit that, unless my understanding is incorrect.
Oh, that's an idea.
That's my understanding.
Yes.
Hi, everybody.
Hi. I think you're right.
Yes, you could.
While you're at Wikipedia, and just as close your ears, but look up fellatio and see the image there.
I'm sorry, you said look up what image?
Look, type in the word fellatio. Oh. And the image that pops up.
Oh, okay.
King, I have a question for King Simon. Are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here, sir.
That's crazy. I found the image. That is crazy. If they didn't have... Man, that's crazy. I won't comment on it. That'll be a nice hunt for anyone. You know, you should go investigate.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I'm going to holler. Oh, no. You
have
messed up my head now.
Man.
Okay, I'm done. I'm done for the night.
No.
Oh, my
goodness. The thing that I didn't get to say last night in regards to the what would you do in your question, Gus, to everyone, and what were the white people, well, racist man and woman, what was their purpose? And I wanted to say their purpose was to practice racism, white supremacy, and show that nothing, it has no consequences. Mm-hmm. But they can practice racism, white supremacy, and there are no consequences
for them. Yeah.
King Simon.
Yes, sir, my brother.
How you doing?
I'm great.
Good. Do you know whether or not Brother Dawood still gives lectures or speeches?
Oh, man. You know, a lot of things have been happening with Dawood lately, but no, he hasn't been doing. I think he only works probably out of Black Gold over there on 125th Street and Malcolm X Boulevard, where InfoDC is at.
Okay.
The InfoDC teaches the comedic martial arts.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's still there. But, you know, he got thrown out of LIU the other day when Wayne Chandler was here because he started screaming out the place and all kinds of, you know how Dawood is.
Okay.
And they threw him out. But he's still out here doing his thing, man. Still doing his thing every now and then. Probably a YouTube broadcast, you might find him on. But he's really adamant about staying away from the computers and all that stuff nowadays.
Okay.
Yeah, but he's out here.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Those, matter of fact, I want to let everybody know, those who want to see, I just confirmed that we're going to do a live stream with Dr. Africa on the 19th, so those who want to watch him from out of town. I don't know how much they charge, and it's probably like $15, but it's a live stream of the whole event on the 19th only, not the 20th, and it's on 1000streams.com. 1000, the number 1000, stream.com. You could check it out live on the 19th only. So you get to see Brother Polite and Dr. Africa go in and teach. You want to see it.
You know about what time? Is it the whole day?
Oh, 3 o'clock. It should start around 3:30 Eastern Standard Time. I don't know where you're located. So.
Okay, I'm in Central. Okay, 3:30. I guess that would be 4:30.
Yeah, about 4:30 your time. Yeah.
Okay.
Should be no more than $15, $20, I think.
Okay. Just for the people that don't have, I guess everybody's at their computer, though, because otherwise they wouldn't be. Okay. I was just. Do you guys see the picture? Never mind. I don't even want to talk about the picture. I'm sorry.
Please go ahead.
I can.
When I saw it, don't ask me why I was there. But
we won't ask you. I don't think I can take anymore.
But I was surfing like we do. And when I saw that, it just, I just said the assaults are everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a constant assault.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they're trying to turn us into their horse. They want us to be their horse, and they just have a hatred for black people. And anything they can do to degrade us, they're going to do it. I just think the evidence is overwhelming how they feel about us. And I think
mm-hmm.
we just need to get to the point where we accept it and don't get emotional about it. You know, don't get your feelings. Why should your feelings be hurt? They've been doing this for a long time. I mean, what does it take? So there's no reason to get insulted or hurt. It's just kind of to strengthen your resolve that you got to do what you got to do.
That photo could be edited, too, if the logic is accurate. So maybe this is the counter-based test. This program, over 150 people were listening live. The archives, a lot of people should hear this. How long will it take for that image to be corrected? That image and the pseudoscientific around Dr. Welsing. How long will it take for those to be corrected? If that's the case, I don't know, but I think that's the case. You can just go to Wikipedia, you sign up, and I think you can edit those. So that's something you can do to work against racism, white supremacy. Go make corrections on Wikipedia, correct that image for fellatio, and Dr. Welsing, it shouldn't be pseudoscientific.
Yes. It's funny, I just signed up with Wikipedia, so I'm going to go in there and correct it. Dr. Claire, I'm going to go there tomorrow and check it out.
Woo-hoo.
I just signed up to Wikipedia today. Just signed up. Funny. Interesting. I don't know about the fellatio. I ain't checked that. It's not my. I didn't do that one. But Dr. Chris Welsing, I'm down with
that. Come on, you don't want to leave that picture up there.
Yeah.
Any one of us could do that. I'm going to stick with Dr. Chris Welsing.
Oh, help me.
Early in the morning tomorrow.
Oh, got stumped on that one.
Does anyone know any shows Taylor Pye is doing research? She wants to know if there are any television programs that are similar to Baywatch, meaning highly sexualized content with mostly or all white people. Anything and that mostly guys watch, mostly white guys. Do you all know of any program that would be comparable to Baywatch?
Probably have to go to Spike TV for that one.
Spike TV.
Spike TV will have a lot of that stuff they be running. It's a lot of cartoons, sexually active cartoons they have out there. Spike TV has a lot of that stuff.
Okay, Spike TV.
Yeah, take that. Even the cartoons are getting degraded, man. Family Guy, I can't even take much. I'm like, guys, here. And the children are really watching that Family Guy thing.
Yeah, I've never been much into cartoons, but I would like to check out an episode of that. What's that one with the non-white family? What is it, Cleveland?
Right. Offspring of our Family Guy. I haven't seen it either.
Okay, I bet you.
Do you know about Hulu?
Say it again?
Hulu, H-U-L-U. Hulu.com, you can watch all those shows and popular shows for free. And they also have, they'll have the Super Bowl commercials on tomorrow.
Okay. Hulu, right?
Well, Hulu. Mm-hmm.
Hulu.
Okay. Hulu.com.
Okay, I heard of that.
I don't imagine anything could be worse than the Boondocks. Did it have a large white following?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to get to that guy too. I've been trying to get to him. I'm actually trying to get to him. Now, have you had any luck with him, Gus?
I have not. I would love to have him on the program.
Yeah. A lot of young people will come out and listen to him, but I want to find out where his mind is at first before I try to book him again. But we can see that through Boondocks, right?
It looks like Hulu has a lot of the commercials on right now, Super Bowl commercials. I think it's called Ad Zone.
I'm gonna hit that up. We have about 3 minutes left in the live in the program. So if you want to share anything, the author of My Princess Boy, tentatively, we're looking at Tuesday evening, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. Looking forward to finding out more about this person. And Dyson, her son, will not be present, but, hopefully it'll be constructive. And it might be a program tomorrow as well. We'll see. That's all I had to say. Justice, did you have anything?
No, not at this time, but yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Anything else you all want to share? Feel free.
Well, Pam, I appreciate the work you're doing, and I've ordered your book.
Great.
And Gus, I pledged my money, and Justice, so I just want to say I'm here, and I appreciate the work you all are doing, and I'm doing my part, whatever I can do at this end of the world.
Ebony News Channel, right?
No, this is Minnie B.
Oh, okay, I thought...
8162.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for supporting our book, and I'm looking forward to hearing your feedback. Constructive criticisms are welcome. Because anything in the book that needs to be looked at, we want to look at it and change. We have some changes. We're going to take Tim Wise out because he's in there. So we're going to take him out. This is before I was more confused.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
But even that